The dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions or accounts of this game, without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated, is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show. Getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Tonight we begin anew with first half champions crowned across the Carolina League yesterday evening. It is time to begin the second half of the 2022 regular season. The series continues tonight in downtown Fayetteville between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Augusta Green Jackets. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth. I'm Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey. It is great to have you with us in downtown Fayetteville, beautiful Segra Stadium. It is a perfect night for baseball. A little warm, but not too hot. The Woodpeckers had the bats certainly fired up yesterday. 7 extra base hits, if you weren't with us, to go on and win a 9-8 ball game. Now, they did have a 4-run lead going into the ninth inning. Things got dramatic in those final frames with the 3 runs crossing for the Green Jackets to turn it to a 1-run game. Augusta even had the bases loaded and the tying run on third base, the go-ahead run on second, but Jason Schroeder was able to lock it down, recording his second save of the year, and the Woodpeckers finished the first half of the regular season with a 31-34 overall record. Now, Colin, everybody at 0-0, the standings are even, and Fayetteville seems like they have a lot of momentum again going into the weekend, kind of like last week against the Cannonballers.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, that was an impressive performance with 7 different guys recording extra base hits in the contest, almost equaling the most game this year. Great to see a couple of home runs leave. Tyler Whitaker with a big 3-run home run. He's been really good lately on a 7-game hit streak, starting to get his groove at the plate. Meanwhile, another guy who had been playing quite a bit, Freddy Guillamo, launched a home run. He actually gets the night off with Miguel Palma drawing back in the lineup, which is great to see. Palma was battling a bit of an injury, but finally back after a little bit over a week rest. So good to see him back behind the plate, and good to see Miguel Ulloa back on the mound. He has been lights out over the last several weeks. We'll see if this start to a new half continues to be the same old Miguel Ulloa as he continues to develop. Just turned 20 last month, and earlier this month, I should say, and trying to build on what's been a really impressive couple of weeks for that young man.
Yeah, Ulloa has not given up an earned run since back on May 22nd on the road against the Kannapolis Cannonballers. He's given up just 1 run over 11 innings in the month of June, an unearned run back on June 9th on the road against the Delmarva Shorebirds. Meanwhile, on the other side of the lineup card, a good pitcher for the Green Jackets, right-hander A.J. Smith-Shawver, who is a top 30 prospect for the Atlanta Braves. Went just an inning and 2/3, limited pitch count his last time against Fayetteville back in April. We'll see now in June if they stretch him a little bit further tonight. But Fayetteville's offense going to try and get going as they did yesterday, scoring 7 of their 9 runs over the first 3 innings of the game. So that was the formula for success. Try and jump on the Augusta starter early in the game and see where things go from there. We mentioned that the records reset today, start of the second half. A look at yesterday's scoreboard, which had the Lynchburg Hillcats win the North Division title. They swept the doubleheader over the Delmarva Shorebirds. The Salem Red Sox won the game that they needed to. They beat the Fredericksburg Nationals to get to 35-31. But with Lynchburg sweeping the Shorebirds, they also were 35-31, entered a tiebreaker with the Salem Red Sox and had the better overall record, the better head-to-head record, should say, between them and the Red Sox. So the Lynchburg Hillcats, by the tiebreaker rule, end up being crowned first half champions. Meanwhile, in the South Division, things got really interesting past the 9 o'clock hour. The Charleston River Dogs needed a win for a chance to win a title, and out of the ninth inning, 2-run home run to beat the Columbia Fireflies. Then they just needed a Myrtle Beach loss, and they would have owned the tiebreaker. The Pelicans trailed 6-1 in the top of the seventh inning, but went on to score 2 runs against the Cannonballers in the seventh, four more in the eighth to take a 7-6 lead. The Cannonballers, though, tied the game in the bottom of the ninth inning with a run, forced extras, and Myrtle Beach was able to pull it out in 10, winning on the road by an 8-7 final and winning the first half championship in the South. So Myrtle Beach and Lynchburg are the two teams that will be playing postseason baseball come this September. And now we have 10 other ball clubs that are trying for those two additional bids in the North and the South in the second half of the schedule, including your Fayetteville Woodpeckers. We have more numbers on the starting pitchers tonight, and we also have the lineup cards here in the booth to bring you between the two managers. Exchanging those lineup cards with the two-man umpiring crew, we'll bring those to you on the other side of this break. First pitch coming up at 7:05 Eastern between the Woodpeckers and the Green Jackets on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. The pregame show continues in a moment. Filled In and Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org, where the journey becomes legend.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest Team Store is the place to pick up merchandise for your favorite Carolina League team. Located next to the front gates at Segra Stadium, the Bird's Nest has a wide selection of Woodpeckers team gear, from hats and t-shirts to commemorative baseballs and bats. Can't make it to the team store? Check us out online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com to shop for all merchandise, including the Woodpeckers 1970s throwback collection worn on field throughout 2022. Again, that's FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com.
Finally, a business journal for Fayetteville. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal gives business people actionable intelligence, information that leads to more sales, more perspective on the region, and better decisions about growing your organization and your career. Check out the website at bizfayetteville.com and subscribe today. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal. Read your way to success.
Performing the national anthem this evening, please welcome Rhonda Cherry.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watch were so gallantly streaming. Star-spangled banner yet wave. Oh, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Let's hear it for Rhonda Cherry. And tonight's Field of Dreams team, the Rangers 12 and under, and Sluggers 8 and under. Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
It's great to be with you tonight in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. Live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Fayetteville, what's happening? MILB.TV. It is the start of the second half schedule and game 4 of 6 between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Augusta Green Jackets. Woodpeckers trailing this series 2-1, but coming off a 9-8 victory last night in which they hit 3 home runs, had 7 total extra base hits, and were able to inch it out in the final inning with Jason Schroeder getting the save. Andrew Chapman, Colin Casey, great to be with you on Superhero Night in the ballpark. So you'll hear a lot of suspenseful music throughout the stadium speakers all night long, and the Woodpeckers are certainly dressed for the occasion. They have Captain America uniforms on and the standard black ball caps for the Woodpeckers, but a really cool uniform with the star emblem at the front. Tough to detail it for you, but it has a red and white and blue Captain America pattern on that uniform, the Woodpecker logo on the left side of the chest, and a red pattern on the back with the blue numbers, the white pants and the gray pinstripe going down the side of the pant leg for the Woodpeckers tonight. Miguel Oyola, he is out there on the mound firing off his warm-up throws, and he is ready to face the top three in the Augusta lineup with Caleb Durbin, Cal Conley, and then Geraldo Quintero. Miguel Oyola gets the sign from the catcher Miguel Palma and throws his first pitch, an up and inside fastball at 7:09 Eastern time. And it's another warm one in Fayetteville, but comfortable enough to be playing some baseball. Sunny and 90 degrees at first pitch. Oyola delivers and a fastball strike is called on Durbin. 1-1. Rest of the starting nine today for the Green Jackets. Brandon Parker, the left fielder, is the cleanup man. Stephen Paolini hits fifth, and Adam Zabrowski, the catcher, is sixth. Oyola fires, and another fastball in there, 94 on the high outside corner, called strike two. Bottom three features Braulio Vasquez, the first baseman, Mekhi Backstrom, the DH, and Connor Blair, the right fielder. Oyola at the shoulders, kicks, delivers, and a pop fly is hit foul over towards the first base dugout, and it'll find the seats, keeping it 1-2. Green Jackets at 36-30 overall. That's how they finished the first half. They came in third in the South Division, 10 games back of Charleston and 11 back of the champs, the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. 1-2 pitch. Durbin hits a liner, second base side, beyond Cody Orr and into the right center field alleyway. Cerny circles over to pick it up. It's a leadoff single for Caleb Durbin, battled in a two-strike count and has his fifth hit of this series. He's been a reliable hitter for the Green Jackets, 5-15 with a home run now on the week, and it'll bring up the switch hitter Cal Conley. The bat's from the left side. Colin has the rest of the Fayetteville defense for you tonight.
Yeah, Miguel Palma back in the lineup after missing quite some time, his first appearance behind the plate in over a week. First pitch misses up and away. Over at first base for the Woodpeckers, Joey Loperfido, Cody Orr at second. The O's Danny Molina, the shortstop, Tyler Whitaker at third. Left to right in the outfield, Rainier Rivas, Jackson Hallmark, and Logan Cerny.
Very high fastball pops in and out of Palma's mitt, but Durbin holds at first base. The count 2-0 on Cal Conley. Augusta is back in that leaf pattern green. Bright green uniform with the Augusta Green Jackets logo on the left side of the chest. and the gray pants with the black belts, black and white stirrups in that left side for Cal Conley. Runner on the move to second. Durbin has a good jump. Pitch misses up and inside. Palma's throwdown is accurate, but nowhere near in time. Durbin was almost moving to second base before Uyola even picked up the leg. Fraction of a second earlier, and he might have risked getting picked off. But Durbin makes it down with a stolen base. And Cal Conley is in a three-ball, no-strike count against Miguel Uyola.
24 steals down the season for Durbin. Like you said, Chappie, just huge jump. He was halfway to second base by the time the ball crossed the plate.
Uyola has walked a combined five hitters over his last two outings. He hasn't been giving up the runs, but that's the only thing that matters as he misses down and inside with a slider and gives up a four-pitch walk to Cal Conley. First two men are on for Augusta in the opening inning. Cal Conley draws his second walk of the series. Last time out, Miguel Uyola pitched against the Kannapolis Cannonballers here at home. That was on June 17th. He went three innings, gave up just one hit, and no earned runs, and no runs at all, in fact. Walked two and struck out six over his three innings of work. Elevated fastball at 95 from Uyola. Count is 1-0 on Geraldo Quintero, who you could probably call the offensive MVP over the first three games of this series for the Green Jackets, their three-hitter. Another switch-hitting bat from that left side. He checks his swing, made contact, fouls it back, and it's 1-1. Quintero 5 for 11 all the week. He has a double, a triple, three driven in, none bigger than his two-run single coming on Wednesday in the ninth inning that gave Augusta a 4-2 lead, won them the game 4-2. And Quintero has also reached twice on walks and struck out only two times.
He's reached base in each of his last six plate appearances.
Runners on first and second, nobody out. Uyola spikes a slider, and it's two balls and a strike on Geraldo Quintero.
Finished a home run shy of the cycle yesterday. Single, double, triple. His first three at-bats.
Yeah, and he was close to that natural cycle. Had him in order. Single, double, triple. Then even got hit by the pitch. Here's the 2-1. And a fastball misses up and away. I don't know if there's a technical baseball term for that. Had Quintero hit the home run yesterday, completed the cycle, and had the hit by pitch mixed in. I'm sure somebody has a term for it.
Also drew a walk on
That's
top
right.
of that.
3-1 offering with a force at all bases is high and outside, and Miguel Uyola has walked another one. So uncharacteristic for Uyola. Can't place the fastball in this opening inning. Cal Conley goes to second base, and we have an early meeting on the mound coming from pitching coach John Kovalik.
Yeah, a little surprised to see him have this type of control issues. It's been a bit of an MO for him. He's walked multiple batters in each of his last two outings, but yeah, it's strange to see him locate the fastball or lack thereof location of the fastball. Usually that's kind of been his go-to, but ever since that first at-bat against Durbin, he's been really wild with it. He's going to have to hunker down here. Bases loaded, nobody out, and the cleanup man coming to the plate.
Yeah, well, all the velocity is on the fastball tonight for Uyola. He's in the 94-95 range, which you expect to see, but a lot of it right now is just staying a little too high to these Augusta hitters. The next will be Brandon Parker, already batting with the bases loaded and nobody out. First three hitters into this ballgame. Single followed by a pair of walks. Durbin at third, Conley at second, Quintero at first. Our two-man umpiring crew tonight features Brian Laws behind the plate and Shea Graham is working the bases. First pitch to Parker, low inside corner, fastball strike one. The umps are in the black ball caps, the black polos, and the gray pants. Uyola from the middle of the rubber picks up that left leg, throws a fastball, and Parker swings and misses. 97 flashes on the radar gun with that pitch. And a couple of pinpoint fastballs right after the meeting from John Kovalik. Uyola at the chest, fires his 0-2. And Parker grounds one through the right side against a shifted infield, and it'll score two runs. Throw goes to third, and it is in time to get Quintero sliding in. Durbin scores, though, as does Cal Conley from second. It's a two-run single for Brandon Parker. Augusta on the board early, and there's one out in the first. Stephen Paolini will now hit. So big play on both sides there. Parker, who had driven in one run this week, and Miguel Uyola was still shaking his head after that play, I think because he gave up the single. Had Cody Orban stationed straight up at second base, might have had a chance to turn two, but he was pinching towards the middle of the diamond against the right-handed hitter. And now a lefty in Paolini. Big lead off of first for Parker. And Paolini scoots out of the way of an inside pitch. Ball one.
It's an excellent throw from right field. But on top of that, a great decision by Logan Cerny. He knew he probably wasn't going to get the speedy Cal Conley at the plate. Turned his attention to third and nailed Quintero with a perfect strike.
Runner on the move to second base. Pitch outside. No throw down from Palma. Another great jump. And Brandon Parker steals the second Augusta base of the inning.
It's one thing I'd like to see the Woodpeckers do better in the second half. They were among the most run-upon teams in the first half, most stolen bases by opponents given up this season.
Here's the 2-0. Paolini lays off, and it's a low strike. 20th pitch already of the inning for Miguel Uyola. At least has the one out behind him. But the stolen base killed the force, and now the 2-1. Paolini looks at it outside. Three balls and a strike. The earned run stretch comes to a close, by the way, for Miguel Uyola on that two-run single given up to Brandon Parker. He leads off of second. Uyola is set at the chest. Left leg kick pitch. Swing and a miss on a high fastball at 96. That fills the count 3-2.
Velo's there. Good challenge fastball on Paolini. If he can just kind of rein that control in, probably salvage this start and get things going back in the right direction.
And now the payoff to Paolini. A pop fly left side behind third. Whitaker drifting back into foul territory. He's onto the extended warning track, and that ball gets just over the netting, two rows into the seats for a souvenir. Even Paolini. The earned run stretch was at 14 innings for Miguel Uyola. It dated back to May 22nd when he was on the road against the Kannapolis Cannonballers and gave up a couple of earned runs over 3 2/3. And the 3-2 delivery again. Paolini checks his swing, and he went too far. And a pitch up above the zone. Miguel Uyola has his second out of the first, his first strikeout tonight. And it'll bring up Adam Zebrowski, man on second base, two gone.
Sometimes that's all it takes as a pitcher. Get that first strikeout, and it all starts coming back to you. It's a good job fighting back after falling behind early in the count. Once again, that high fastball, just too much for Paolini to lay off.
First one to Zebrowski is a belt-high fastball called strike one. Zebrowski was in the sixth spot yesterday, just like today, and he finished 1-for-5. Came up with a pretty important swing in the ninth inning that made the game awful close. It was a 9-6 game. The bases were loaded when Zebrowski came up, and he hopped one behind the second base bag that went for an infield single, scored two runs in the process, turned it to a 9-8 game. 1-1 the count, and Uyola pitches. Zebrowski swings, hits a hard grounder through the left side, out into left field, and they stop Parker at third. Throw comes in from left and now down to second base where Zebrowski stomps in. He'll get credit for a single with the advance down to second base on the throw from Rainier Rivas out in left field. Rivas thought that they were going to send the runner Parker, but they held him up, and as a result of that decision, Zebrowski ends up making it down to second.
And just like that, three hits allowed in the inning for Uyola. That ties the most he's given up in a single outing this season. So Augusta seeing that fastball well. Zebrowski's had himself quite the series, driven in a number of key runs. And here he just squares up a fastball, rips it into left, but Rivas able to hold the runner. Zebrowski, though, takes advantage of it, moves up to second base.
Braulio Vasquez foul over the netting. Yeah, Adam Zebrowski is now hitting 300 this week in Fayetteville. He's 3-for-10. With a double, his three RBIs and three strikeouts. Meanwhile, Braulio Vasquez is still looking for his first hit of the series, 0-for-4 with a walk and a K. Holds those hands up high, a crouched and even stance, and he takes a changeup just a little in. Says home plate umpire Brian Laws. Fayetteville bullpen has already activated here in the top of the first inning. A right-hander is out there throwing, and the pitch count for Uyola is the primary concern. Woodpeckers don't want to make him throw more than 35 in an inning, and he's at 27 right now. Here's the pitch. Vasquez reaches out and taps it off at the end of the bat. 1-1.
Vasquez, a guy that Augusta would like to see get going a little more here in the second half. Just one home run and nine RBIs, .217 batting average in the first half.
A strike away from getting out of this long first inning, and Uyola does so with a swing and a miss. Strike three on a fastball atop the zone. But the Green Jackets put the first two runs on the board tonight on a two-run single from Brandon Parker to right field. Fayetteville has the chance to respond for the first time. When we return, they grab the bats. Cody Orr, Leo Stanny Molina, and Logan Cerny. Lead it off for the Woodpeckers when we return.
Bunker's Entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Give him a superhero welcome. It's Super Bunker. Fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score six runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any of their locations here in Fayetteville. Say, we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three. On the mound for the Green Jackets, A.J. Smith-Shawver. Tonight's Woodpeckers walk-up music is presented by the Big 95.7 WKML. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the second baseman, number 14, Cody Orr.
Augusta spots their starting pitcher, A.J. Smith-Shawver, a two-run advantage before Fayetteville even grabs the bats tonight. But now we're in the bottom of the first, and Cody Orr, the first to try and respond. He takes a high fastball from Smith-Shawver. Ball one, Leo Stanny Molina will bat next, and then Logan Cerny third. Joey Loperfido is the cleanup hitter tonight. Justin Williams, the DH, is fifth. Here's the pitch on the inner half, called strike one. Miguel Palma hits sixth, followed by Tyler Whitaker, the third baseman, Rainier Rivas, 8, and Jackson Hallmark, the center fielder, rounds it out for the Woodpeckers. Fastball misses inside, 94 from A.J. Smith-Shawver. 2-1. There's a Brandon Parker two-run single that opened the scoring for the Green Jackets. Orr checks his swing, and the home plate man, Brian Laws, says he went too far. Two ball and two strike count on Orr, looking for his first hit on the week.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's definitely due to start to the series for him.
0-8, and here's a nubber in the left-handed hitter or right-handed hitter's box, and that'll get foul. Stays where it is, 2-2. Orr comes into the season as a whole, batting .204. He's playing in his 50th game of the year. Did spend a brief stint in the first half on the injured list, just about 7 days after he got hit in the wrist with a pitch. 2-2. Hit hard towards third, but foul. And Orr just a little bit early. Wrapped around an A.J. Smith-Shawver slider. Smith-Shawver comes in overall numbers this year. A 1-4 record, 5.06 ERA. He's pitching in his 12th game, also making his 12th start. 42 and two-thirds total innings. He's given up 24 earned runs, 26 walks, but 66 strikeouts. And Orr got clipped on the elbow. A fastball ran up and in on him. And he'll head down to first, hit by the pitch. And just like we mentioned, Orr has taken one on the wrist this year. So anything coming up near the wrist area or elbow is enough to bring back bad memories for Cody. And he'll head to first base. A.J. Smith-Shaver looked pretty good in that at-bat, but he loses the Fayetteville leadoff man. And now we'll face Leo Stanny Molina.
That's the sixth time that Orr's been hit this season, tied for the team high along with Molina, who steps in. So these two guys taking a lot of bruises through the first half, now entering the second half, trying to avoid some of those HPPs, but not exactly the best start for Orr. But, hey, he'll take getting on base any way he can after the tough start he had over the first couple of games of this series.
Here's Leo Stanley Molina, really been hitting the ball well in the month of June. And this week he's 3-for-10, playing in all three games. Yesterday, Molina was batting in the two spot, had a multi-hit game, a first inning single, a seventh inning double. He scored a huge run, the game-winning run, when Logan Cerny brought him around. It was the ninth run of the night for Fayetteville, made it a 9-5 game at the time, and Eckers needed that ninth run. They won 9-8. Orr on the move to second base. Pitch comes in. It's a fastball called a strike, and the throwdown kicks away from the covering shortstop, Cal Conley. Caleb Durbin backs up the play, but Cody Orr slides in safely, and he picks up his 16th stolen base of the year. He's now 16-for-19 in attempts.
Yeah, he's now all alone second on the team with stolen bases. When he's been able to get on base, very few guys can be able to throw him out. He's usually getting some pretty good jumps off of first base. He did just that there.
Molina swings and misses at a 97 mile per hour fastball. The count is 1-2. Smith-Shaver last pitched against the Woodpeckers on April 21st, a game that Fayetteville dominated on the mound as Molina strikes out swinging. High fastball got him. He's the first out of the first inning. That was the game when Ernesto Jaquez and Carlos Calderon combined to strike out 17 Green Jackets. Meanwhile, A.J. Smith-Shaver was a little limited on the pitch count front. He threw 42 total pitches, 22 strikes, but the big issue for him was four walks. He did have four strikeouts, recorded four of his five outs via the K. As Cerny looks at a fastball strike on the outside corner, 98 flashing on the left field video board. So he was pulled in the second inning. He'll try and go a little bit longer tonight. Longest outing this season for AJ is five innings. He's done that on four separate occasions. That was the changeup, I believe, coming into Cerny. That's still a mid to high 80s changeup, though. A lot of velocity to deal with from AJ Smith-Shaver. Look to second, the 0-2 to Cerny. He bounces it towards third. That stays fair inside of the line. It's grabbed by Quintero, and his throw to first pulls Vasquez off of the bag, although I think Cerny beat the throw, and he'll come up with an infield single.
That great hustle down the line for Fayetteville. Let's take a quick look at the Augusta defense. Adam Zabrowski back behind the plate doing the catching for A.J. Smith-Shaver. Over at first, Braulio Vasquez, Caleb Durbin, the second baseman. Cal Conley at short, and Geraldo Quintero, the third baseman, left to right in the outfield. Brandon Parker, Stephen Paulini, and Connor Blair making his first start of the series out and right.
First pitch fastball stays outside to Joey Loperfido. And it starts out Joey in a one ball and no strike count. Loperfido still above the 300 mark on the year, coming in hitting 302, the pitch. Line drive right field, and that'll fall for a base hit. Cody Orr gets to third, and he's getting waved around. Down he goes, down the third baseline. He scores, and Loperfido offers up a response. It's 2-1.
You saw resiliency from both teams yesterday. Every time one team threw a punch offensively, the other would usually respond. And so far, we're seeing the same there. Orr gets hit by the pitch, swipes second base. Two batters later, Cerny reaches on a hit, and Loperfido just drives one into the outfield. Orr able to score. Great to see this response offensively from Fayetteville. They're going to need this type of resiliency in the second half if they want to compete for a second-half title and make the postseason. so far so good, especially against a talented arm like Smith Shawver. Great to see some great at-bats early in this one and already driving up his pitch count.
Loperfido plates his 32nd run of the year. That's second on the club. He's trailing only Logan Cerny with 37 RBIs this year. So Cerny gets to second base on the Loperfido RBI single. It's Joey's third hit this week. He's now 3-for-8. And Justin Williams hits with a force at all bases. One gone in the bottom of the first. 2-1 ball game. Williams into the right side. There was a meeting on the mound between the catcher Zabrowski and Smith Shawver. First pitch to Williams. Fastball placed on the outside corner at 97. Williams' only hit this week against the Green Jackets was a 2-run home run last night. Went the opposite way. Just barely tucked it over the right field wall. The pitch. Williams swings and misses. Both of Williams' home runs this year have come with runners on base. He hit a 3-run shot in Delmarva a couple of weeks back. And then the 2-run homer last night in Fayetteville. A look to second, the 0-2. Williams swings and strikes out. Fastball right down the middle challenged him. Shawver has given up the run, the two hits, but has two strikeouts now as well in his opening inning. And that'll bring up Miguel Palma, ready to take his first at-bats in about a week.
Prior to that injury that sidelined him beginning June 17th, he was hitting outstanding in the month of June, well over 300, raising that batting average to 228 on the season. So welcome sight to have him back.
Attacks the first one, rolls it foul past Joe Thon, the third base coach today for the Woodpeckers. Palma was clipped on a Colson Montgomery slide Friday night, exactly a week ago when the Cannonballers were in town. I think the cleat got a part of his left shoulder and he was checked up on. He stayed in the game, but afterward was dealing with some soreness and never went on the injured list, but has been unavailable the last week, and it's been all Freddy Guillamo. So Freddy gets a nice day of rest today. And wouldn't be surprised if Palma eats up a big chunk of the innings behind the plate throughout the weekend. Give Freddy a chance just to recover with there only being two catchers on the roster. Here's a double steal. Palma swings, pops it up, and that'll get over the seats on the third base side. Palma goes to a one ball and two strike count. He's batting 228 over 44 games. Seven doubles, no triples, but four home runs. Finished the first half with 20 driven in. And 23 walks, only 31 strikeouts for Palma in those 44 games. So that's the good thing with him. You know he's going to try and put the ball in play or find a way to get on. He's really done a good job of limiting those strikeouts this year. As the 1-2 is hit hard down the line, hops off of the wall, and will score a couple of runs. Cerny from second, Loperfido chugging down that third baseline, a go-ahead double. Welcome back, Miguel Palma. It's 3-2 Fayetteville in the bottom of the first inning.
How good does that have to feel for Miguel Palma, missing all that time watching his team out there in the dugout, and just best pitch he saw in that at-bat right down the middle from Smith Shawver, and he just turns on it, rips it down the left field line. It kind of hit the base of the wall and stopped, so that gave Loperfido plenty of time to round third and score. What a response from Fayetteville. Give up two in the first half, picking up Uyola in the bottom half. Great stuff to see in the first game of the second half.
So in steps Tyler Whitaker, trying to add to a 3-run bottom of the first. That's how the Woodpeckers opened things up yesterday. They scored 3 in the second inning to go in front 3-0. That was on a 3-run home run. And then put up a 4-spot the next inning. It was Tyler Whitaker that provided those 3 runs, a 3-run home run. The double, by the way, for Palma is his 8th of the year. And he picks up his 21st and 22nd RBIs as well. 3-2 Fayetteville. Miguel Uyola has to be jazzed up in that home dugout. After he walked a couple, gave up the pair of runs. And his offense has his back. Gives their start to the lead right back. 2-1 count. Shawver throws. And Whitaker fouls it off the inside of his left foot, hops around, and that was just right underneath that Evo Shield guard that he wears on the left leg.
Talk about Palmer returning. Victor Miskai left yesterday's game with an injury, but he took batting practice today and launched a couple of baseballs over the right field fence. So safe to say that it's probably just a day-to-day thing and that he should be okay.
Palmer off to second base. Whitaker ready for the 2-2, and it short hops the catcher. Tyler Whitaker is batting 174. He's played in just about every single game this year for Fayetteville. He only took four games off the entire first half. Played 61 of 65. And finished his first half with a three-run home run yesterday. His fourth of the year. Has 28 RBIs as well. 29th pitch of the first inning for A.J. Smith-Shawver. And Whitaker flies it opposite way. Right center field. Paulini angling to his left. And he'll cut it off in the alleyway and end the inning. But the Woodpeckers issue a response. Five total runs between the two sides in the first inning. The Woodpeckers lead 3-2 as we go top two next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's time for the Catlett Family Dentistry Smile Cam. What I want. Segra provides Segra Stadium with free public Wi-Fi. Log on now by selecting hashtag. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Miguel Uyola. Leading off the top of the second inning for the Green Jackets, the designated hitter, number 12, Mekhi Backstrom.
Well, each team sends seven batters to the plate in the first inning, and it comes to a close with a 3-2 lead for Fayetteville. Now Miguel Uyola gets to put that tough first inning behind him, spotted the lead once again, and he delivers his 0-1 to Mekhi Backstrom. The eight hitter, a swing and a miss and a fastball, and it's quickly no balls and two strikes on the Augusta DH. 0-for-6 in the series, pair of walks and three strikeouts. Backstrom ready, the pitch. Curveball stayed up high, and the count is 1-2. Backstrom on the season is batting just 199, trying to get over that 200 mark. The pitch. Checks his swing on a breaking ball, went too far, strike three. Miguel Uyola ended the first inning with a strikeout, starts the second inning with a K. For Backstrom, that's been the big issue for him this year. He's first on the club with now 76 strikeouts. And here's the nine-hitter, Connor Blair. Three Ks for Miguel Uyola so far, and here's the pitch to Blair. Stays off a slider, misses down and away for ball one. Season high in strikeouts for Uyola was set in this month of June. That was on the road against Delmarva on June 9th. He K'd seven Shorebirds over four innings and gave up just one unearned run. 2 balls and no strikes, the count on Blair. And here's the pitch. Fastball strike on that high outside corner. Blair held the swing, but in the zone anyways. 2-1.
Uyola's been going to that high fastball a lot, and it's been a tough pitch to lay off so far for Augusta. A lot of check swings.
Foul ball and another 95-mile-per-hour heater. And it's 2-2. Blair is batting just 176. He's playing in his 28th game of the year. He has two doubles, no triples, two home runs, and only six runs driven in. 40th pitch of the day for Uyola. His 2-2 is a slider painted on that outside corner. Back-to-back strikeouts, and both of them have been looking in this second inning. Uyola has struck out three in a row, going back to the first four of his last five hitters he's faced. And after giving up a pair of singles and two walks, Uyola has dominated the bottom portion of this Augusta Green Jackets lineup. Now he faces Caleb Durbin, leadoff man for the second time. Squared to bunt, a fastball missed way up high for ball one.
Yeah, now a chance to get redemption against the top four hitters who all reached base to begin the ball game.
Durbin singled and stole second base, ended up coming around to score on the Brandon Parker two-run base hit. Here's the pitch. Checks his swing, and on the appeal down to first, Shea Graham says he held up. Two balls and no strikes. That left field bullpen had to activate in the first inning with the pitch count getting up there for Uyola, but it's quiet now. 2-0 on the lower inside corner, framed for strike one.
Sometimes it's tough to recover from a 20-plus pitch first inning, but he's doing about as good as you can as far as efficiency goes here in the second.
Almost hit the exact same spot, low and in with a fastball, but perhaps a little too far inside that time, called ball three. 3-1, third walk of the night. Walked Conley and Quintero in the first. 3-1 pitch. Is on the high outside corner, and a delayed strike call by Brian Laws, but that fills it up. Heavy reliance on the fastball today for Uyola. Maybe the most we've seen him throw the fastball and is as often as he is right now. Here's the 3-2 payoff, and a changeup down and in. Uyola is stepping off of the mound. Thought he had strike three. Can't believe it. Instead, it's ball four.
His mouth was agape. He really thought that was the pitch to get out of the inning, strike out the side, but Brian Laws thought otherwise, and so the inning continues, and that's a big two-out base runner for Augusta with Durbin already stealing second once today.
Great crowd filing in tonight, filling the seats, and here's a pickoff over to first, and Durbin is caught off of the bag. Loperfido chases him down to the baseline and tags him out to end the inning. So Uyola didn't get the call in the zone, but he catches Durbin sleeping, stepping off of first base, and ends up facing the minimum in a scoreless second inning. 3-2 the score, Woodpeckers leading. We go bottom two next.
Make some noise for the Brian Hunter T-shirt toss. She was singing in my ear, you would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Okay. Conversation got heavy. Hey. She had me feeling like she's ready to. Watch out! Launch a ball is back. Before the fireworks show, you'll be able to throw your numbered tennis ball onto the field to try and win a variety of prizes. Launch a balls can be purchased at the fan information table directly inside the main gates. Balls are on sale for $1 or $6. For $5, buy your launch a balls now. Back on the mound for the Green Jackets, A.J. Smith-Shawver. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, the power hitter of the game, number 44, Rainier Rivas.
Rainier Rivas begins the bottom of the second inning with the Woodpeckers leading 3-2. It'll be Rivas, Jackson Hallmark, and Cody Orr, 8-9-1, to face A.J. Smith-Shaver, who gave up 3 runs and 3 hits in the bottom of the first inning. Rivas muscles up and pops the first pitch left of the plate and out of play onto the concourse. Strike one.
That first inning, Chappie, was a sign of something you wanted to see, producing runs without necessarily relying on the home run.
And Rivas had an ugly-looking swing there. He didn't want it to go, but knew he crossed the plane, and it's up quickly 0-2. Rivas is hitting just 184 over his first 14 games in the Carolina League. 0-2 offering is framed on the outside corner, strike three looking. Third strikeout for Smith-Shaver. Still working his first time through the order. Now faces the nine-hitter Jackson Hallmark. Smith-Shaver is a Texas native. He went to Colleyville Heritage High School in Texas. Big-time high school athlete that was not only a talented baseball player but also a good football player. He was committed to go to Texas Tech, where they said that he could be baseball team, but also on the football team was going to be a quarterback at Texas Tech. But the Atlanta Braves draft selection in 2021 was enough to convince him to go pro. Seventh round selection last year. Wind 1-1, and Hallmark foul tipped a high fastball into Zabrowski's mitt. 1-2 with nobody on and one away.
It's been some pretty good quarterbacks to go to Texas Tech. The one and only Patrick Mahomes.
Say you go to Texas Tech to be a QB, you have some big shoes to fill. As Hallmark's strikes out on a sweeping slider from Shaver. Back-to-back strikeouts and a much stronger start to this second inning. That was the case for Miguel Ulloa, his second inning. And now Smith-Shaver seems like he's figured something out, but will now face the Woodpeckers lineup for a second time. Here's Cody Orr. First pitch his way. Skips to the plate. Orr was in a two-strike count, opening the bottom of the first inning, then a fastball ran up and in on him and clipped him on the left elbow. Orr ended up stealing second base, though, after getting plunked and then came around on a RBI single from Joey Loperfido. Here's the 1-0. Orr lasers a line drive right center field, sprinting to his right goes Blair, and that falls to his side. And Orr has himself a second inning two-out single.
Good to see him start seeing the ball better at the plate. A little bit of luck in his first plate appearance. Got plunked with 2 strikes. Got back on the base pass, got a stolen base, and seems to get his confidence back offensively. Just put a charge into that ball the other way. Two-out single. Fayetteville trying to spark another rally and extend this lead.
And they got a two-out base hit out of Miguel Palma in the first. Smith-Shaver spins, throws over, and Orr dives back in time. Miguel Ulloa was able to get out of the second inning thanks to a pickoff throw, caught Caleb Durbin off guard. Shifted over, and Molina chases a outside fastball for a strike one. Molina struck out swinging on that heater back in the first. One of 4 Ks for A.J. Smith-Shaver. As he shakes his head, gets the sign, and spins over to first again. Has exhausted both of his pickoff moves. Good crowd filling the seats. Only just a couple of seats open beyond the right field rain tarp, but that's all. Everywhere else is packed. Orr on the move again. Pitches down and outside. Throw down is right into the mid of Durbin, and but the tag not in time. Orr got in there, and he has another stolen base. His 17th of the year. He's now 2-for-2 both times he's gone on.
Wait a minute. Oh, they were just checking the appeal. I saw the field umpire Shea Graham motion an out call, but he was talking about the pitch. So it ends up being a strike on the pitch
on Molina.
To Molina.
Right, so it'll be an 0-2 count on Molina. As Orr takes the lead off of second, pitch comes in and misses very high and inside to Molina. 1-2.
And that was a borderline check swing. Wasn't sure which way it was going to go, but the appeal says he did break the plane.
1-2. Strike three swinging, and Molina goes down on strikes for a second time. A.J. Smith-Shaver puts up his first scoreless inning tonight. And it's 3-2 through two on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Fans, take a look at the video board. These two lucky fans are sitting in the coolest seats in the house. You've won a tumbler and drink tickets, courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. So cool. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door. You leave the world behind. You're digging for gold, a fortune and feelings. But someday you'll pay. Don't these jerseys look good? Well, one of them can be yours. Stop by the auction table on the concourse to bid on tonight's Captain America jerseys. Half of tonight's jerseys will be available for auction, bidding until the last out of the seventh inning. The other half will be placed online for bidding until Tuesday at 8 p.m. Good luck. For the Woodpeckers, Miguel Ulloa.
Top three and Fayetteville leading 3-2. Interesting first inning tonight where all the offense came for both the sides, but both starting pitchers recover with scoreless second innings. Cal Conley steps into left side, leading it against Miguel Ulloa to take you through the third and the fourth. On the play-by-play, it is Colin Casey.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Conley swings the first pitch and fouls it straight back. Ulloa surrendering a pair of runs in the top of the first inning to Augusta. The first two runs he has allowed all season long at Segra Stadium. Bunt laid down, and it's a good one by Conley, and he will beat that one easily as Whitaker tried letting it roll across the line, but it stayed in fair territory, and just like that, Green Jackets have a leadoff single to begin the third. Haven't seen many bunts for a hit this season against Fayetteville, but that was a perfect one from Conley.
Yeah, and surprising that we just haven't seen a ton of other teams that are willing to try and bunt against a shift, and the Woodpeckers shift really more than any other infield across this entire league from what I've seen. Whitaker wasn't in a heavy shift, but he was off of that line, and Cal Conley says, I'll just put it the other way.
Quick throw over on Conley by Ulloa, and he is back with a dive. So Geraldo Quintero will look to continue his impressive stretch, reaching base in each of his last seven plate appearances. First pitch from Ulloa, fastball up and away. Quintero, 3-for-3 yesterday, single, double, triple, two runs scored, a hit by pitch and a walk. Fastball up and away again. Ulloa's really missed a lot that upper portion of the zone with his fastball, but left it up a little bit more, and Augusta has been able to lay off. 2-0 count. Conley on the move. The pitch misses up and away. The throw down from Palma is short-armed on a hop tag placed by Molina, but not in time. And Conley has himself a stolen base. The third steal already for the Green Jackets.
And Miguel Ulloa, obviously, coming up with a make it to Miguel Palma with a big swing already on the offensive end. Doesn't look like he quite has the arm strength that maybe he did a week ago. Could take a moment just to get some of that back, being in a live game for the first time in a week.
3-0 count, the pitch to Quintero. That fastball is over. Would have been surprised to see him get the green light, but he lays off. Average up to 264 now on the season for Geraldo. A big RBI chance. The 3-1 foul tip. That one held onto by Palma. and Uyola battles back to fill the count. Shadows creeping in here at Segra Stadium as some of the lights coming on. As the sun sets, 3-2, fouled off to the left. It's the fourth of six games between these two teams following this series. Short ride up the road to Zebulon for the Woodpeckers as they will face the Carolina Mudcats for the second time this season, the first time on the road. Another 3-2 up and in, and ducking out of the way is Quintero as he draws a walk for the second time tonight. That one the fourth issued by Miguel Uyola on the night. That is a tie for the season high and the most since May 6th in a single game by Uyola.
It's been walks to all of those top guys in the order that had walks in previous games coming into that really knows how to put the ball in play and is also very selective at the plate.
Double steal is on and both runners will be safe. Conley swipes third, Quintero takes second, and another big RBI chance for Brandon Parker with a 1-0 count. Still nobody out. Parker already drove in a pair of runs in the top of the first inning. He's looking to double that RBI total with another base hit here. Infield comes in for Fayetteville. Uyola from the stretch, the 1-0. Breaking ball and Parker out in front of it. Make it five stolen bases in less than three innings. Green Jackets running wild on this Friday night. Here's the 1-1. Fastball, inside corner, called a strike. Parker not a fan. And he falls behind 1-2.
That's how you pitch, buddy. Let's go.
20th stolen base for Conley and 15 now for Quintero. Just so many stolen bases from the top of that order this season for manager Nestor Perez. The 1-2. Fastball just outside. Fayetteville 3, Augusta 2. Still the top of the third inning. Woodpeckers trying to make it back-to-back victories and even up the series. Another two-strike pitch. This one is hit well out towards left center field. Rivas going back, looking up. It is high off the wall, and this will plate two runs. Parker is in the second standing with a double as Conley scores. Quintero right behind him. And it's a four RBI night for Brandon Parker already. He retakes the lead for Augusta, 4-3 in the top of the third.
Boy, and he hit it to the one little carve out in the wall where you get about an additional 4 or 5 feet. That wall elevated right above the 368-foot marker. And any other part of the fence, he's talking a third time that raised wall comes into play. And he found it for the two-run double. What a night for Brandon Parker.
Yeah, very fortunate that that wasn't a home run. Just a little bit of an area as Uyola airmails one. Parker on his way to third. He's in there safely as Palma didn't realize he might have had a play. So another 90 feet advance for Parker. But it's about a 4 or 5 yard wide section of that fence out in left center field, where the wall juts up about another foot and a half, and it made all the difference in the world. But Parker might score anyways now as he's on third. Still nobody out, 1-0 count to Stephen Paulini. Another fastball up high, and Uyola's command really starting to drift. That was pitch number 63 on the night. 62, rather. So he is certainly nearing the end of his pitch limit. And we'll see how manager Joe Thon monitors the situation. There's still nobody out in the inning.
Well, Yola's confidence had just been building so much over the last month or so. John Kovalik talked about that when he went in down east. He went three hitless innings. He said his confidence just started to really peak.
Breaking ball dips down and away, and it's 3-0.
You know, you turn 20 years old, and you say, all right, this is the part where I really take off as a pro, and Miguel still has all of that skill set and has the ability to really dominate at this league and even higher, but every once in a while you're going to have a game that kind of humbles you a little bit, and I think Uyola's going through it right now.
Fastball called a strike on Paulini, who threw his bat thinking it was ball four, but Brian Laws keeping him in the box, and now Paulini is granted time with a 3-1 count. Adam Zabrowski, who's one for one already, waits in the on-deck circle. The 3-1. Swung on and missed. Uyola once again battling back, able to fill the count. Despite the way things have gone in the early go, Uyola certainly hasn't quit. He's fought back a lot after digging himself a hole in a lot of these counts. Borderline pitch called ball four. Paulini gets the benefit of the doubt, and he draws yet another walk to make it five for Uyola. That is a season high for the young right-hander, and that will prompt another mound visit from pitching coach John Kovalik. Runners at first and third, still nobody out in the top of the third with two home in the inning.
Yeah, start of the night, Uyola just looked a little bit amped up going out there. A lot of his fastballs were missing up high. In the second inning, it seemed like he made a correction. He started to bring that fastball down a little bit, and then it was hitting right at the top of the zone, and it was tough for those Augusta hitters to catch up to that. But here in the third, it's been more on the inside and outside of the plate that Uyola's been missing. It hasn't been huge misses, but just enough to allow these Augusta hitters to watch him go by. And not like tonight for Uyola, like we said a moment ago, you're going to have a couple of those over the course of the season, and all he can do right now is just try and be as effective as he can over the next 10 pitches or so until he hits his cap.
ERA has climbed from 1.82 to 3.04 so far, and this ball gets by Palma. This is going to be a plate, the plate, the flip, not in time as it popped out of Uyola's glove anyways. Palma kind of stumbled as he tried to flip it as Parker bolted home. Just kind of a mess of a play there for the Woodpeckers, and that adds another run, the third of the inning. A 5-3 lead now for Augusta. Second wild pitch of the inning as well.
Yeah, tough way to come out of a mound meeting. Last time John Kovalik went to the mound, it resulted in a strikeout. And Palma looked like he found his, Uyola looked like he found his confidence again, but uncorked the wild pitch right after the meeting on the mound and looks a little deflated out there.
Paulini stands at second now. The fastball's up and away. Zabrowski had a two-out single against Uyola in the first. Going stranded at second base to end the inning. Looking like another high-scoring affair after a 9-8 ball game yesterday. Uyola glance at second, the 2-0. Down and away for ball three. In danger of issuing his sixth walk of the ball game. Would be the most, tied for the most this season. That one swung on and missed. Kind of a half swing by Zabrowski. Very uncharacteristic of what you'd see with a 3-0 count. So he buys Uyola another pitch. 3-1. Another swing at what would have been ball four, and Zabrowski kind of digs himself into a 3-2 count. Woodpeckers still looking for their first out of the inning for the second straight time, or for the second inning tonight. First four batters have reached base for Augusta in the inning. And the 3-2 is a called strike three as Uyola able to fight back, and he gets the Green Jackets catcher looking for the first out of the third, and that will be it for Uyola. Manager Joe Thon heads out to the mound, motions to the bullpen. And that will be it for a tough night for the young right-hander. Certainly has been impressive so far this season, but this will be one that he won't look back on positively as he departs with one away in the top of the third inning. We'll tell you about the new arm when we come back. 5-3 Augusta leads in the top of the third inning on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 38, Fraylin Garcia. With a runner on second base and one out, coming to the plate for the Green Jackets, the first baseman, number 15.
The night ends early for Miguel Ulloa, who goes just 2 1/3 innings, allowing so far 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. So that's a bit of a theme for him tonight. Fraylin Garcia, the right-hander on the mound, taking over with one down in the top of the third. The runner at second, Stephen Paulini, the batter, Braulio Vasquez. Paulini on the move. Vasquez hits a cue shot towards second. Orr charges, looks towards third, throws on to first. It's a pretty close play as Vasquez hustled down the line, but he is out by half. Retire the first batter he faces. Paulini moves to third with two down.
Paulini was breaking on the pitch. I think that was because he saw the leg kick of Fraylin Garcia. He had a little bit too much leg kick there and gave enough time for Paulini to move, but he won't get a stolen base on that grounder out to second. So Fraylin's just kind of the bridge guy right now. And since Ulloa did depart in the third, Joe Thon might be hoping to get a fourth inning out of Fraylin tonight as well.
First pitch hit sharply to first. Lo Perfido able to make the play, tag the bag. And just like that, the inning is over. So Fraylin Garcia comes on, throws two pitches, records two outs, and gets out of the jam. Augusta leaves one in scoring position but scores three times in the third inning. They take a 5-3 lead in the bottom half of the third. We'll be right back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
All about Marvel trivia. You love Marvel, right? I do too. All right, here are the questions right here. Okay, in which Marvel comic did the Avengers first appear? That is a really good question. Yes, we get multiple choice. Okay, what do you think? A, B, or C? Okay, he's going with C. Is he right? Oh, it's okay. It's the Avengers number one. It's all good. It's all good. Keep it going. Keep it going. All right, what is the name of the all-female guard sworn to protect Wakanda? All right, come on. We got to know this one. Is it A, B, or C? What do you guys think?
A.
He's going with A. Is he right? Yeah! Way to go, James. Way to go. All right, let's keep this going. Black Panther's bodysuit is made of what mysterious material? What is it? What is it? What is it? We know this one. A, B, or C. What do you guys think? Yeah, what you think?
C.
Yeah, I think it's C. Oh, yeah, James, you got it, you got it. Let's give it up for James, everybody. Way to go.
Yeah.
Back on the mound for the Green Jackets, A.J. Smith-Shawver. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder, number one, Logan Cerny.
Logan Cerny digs in to begin the bottom of inning number three. Colin Casey alongside Andrew Chapman on this beautiful Friday evening of Woodpeckers baseball. 5-3 lead for Augusta, as the Woodpeckers, after scoring three times in the bottom of the first, will have to fight back once again here in the third. Cerny hits one foul off to the right. An 0-2 count now is A.J. Smith-Shawver. looking to pick up what would be already a sixth strikeout if he's able to finish Cerny off. Digs back into the box. Logan singled, came around to score his first time up. 0-2, and he swings and misses on a breaking ball down and away. 91 miles an hour, a lot of movement for a pitch that fast. And Cerny becomes the sixth strikeout victim of the ball game for Smith Shauver. In the first out in the bottom of the third, Joey Loperfido digs in to try and keep up his strong play at the plate. RBI single his first time up, ripped it into right field to get Fayetteville on the board. Smith Shauver comes home, fastball up and away. Five runs on five hits, no errors so far for the Green Jackets. They've stranded three runners. Three runs on four hits, no errors, and two left on through two innings at the plate for the Woodpeckers. Loperfido sends one in the air, shallow left field. Bit of a miscommunication, and that ball's dropped for Fido up to second base. Conley looked like he had it the whole way, backed off at the last second, and Parker could not secure it. That one will almost certainly be an error on the left fielder. So, bit of a gift for Fayetteville. Loperfido stands in scoring position with one down. So Justin Williams suddenly has himself an RBI chance. Struck out swinging his first time up, as this will prompt a mound visit. Catcher Adam Zabrowski talking with Smith Shauver briefly. That one officially does go in the books as an E7. Stake three baseball yesterday from the Green Jackets, not committing an error, and you know they have one in the third inning. We'll see if it costs them in a two-run ball game. First pitch to Williams, check swing, and it's a called strike one regardless. Williams launched a two-run home run in the third inning last night, hit one the other way following a two-run double from Victor Mascai. And a check swing, had his hands tied up with 97 on the inside corner. Williams behind 0-2. Loperfido with a decent-sized lead off of second base. Smith Shauver, quick glance, comes home rapidly and skips a breaking ball, stopped by Zabrowski. Williams, former Penn State Nittany Lion, drafted in the 17th round last year. Joined the team earlier this month. Big lead by Loperfido, and that prompts Smith Shauver to bluff a pickoff move. He comes set once more, and home. Hit on the ground to third, loved by Quintero, look to second to keep Loperfido at bay, and throws across the diamond in time. So Williams is retired for out number two. Loperfido remains at second base. And another big opportunity for Miguel Palma, who ripped a two-run double in his first at-bat in a week. So Palma trying to dip. First pitch. Another breaking ball down low.
You know, Palma being able to stay off the injured list, even though he wasn't playing, still able to go through his daily routines of taking some batting practice, talking with pitchers, being a part of those meetings. It's a credit to the training staff out here, Sarah Walton, Eric Braun, keeping Palma, you know, healthy enough and getting him fixed up and back in time to avoid that injured list stint, because Fayetteville really benefits when he's in their lineup and when he's behind the plate.
Second pitch to him is a fastball over to even the count. And he really was playing some of his best baseball of the season in the early part of June. Hit a couple of home runs, 367 average, five runs driven in. He's already tallied that to seven, and the fastball comes in and hits Smith Shauver. Last thing you want to see from a guy who just missed time due to injury, but he quickly heads down to first base. He's reached base in each of his first two plate appearances in his return, and he represents a tying run. Two away in the inning. That'll bring up Tyler Whitaker.
flash of 97 on the video board as well on that pitch that hit him flush. That one's got to hurt a little bit. The ball was a catcher. He tossed that bat aside, didn't wince too long, went right up that first baseline.
Real testament to how tough it is to stand in that box and face high 90s fastballs. Wasted no time getting down to first base. Whitaker awaits the first pitch, misses down and away. I pulled myself out of a game after getting hit in the leg with what was probably a 60-mile-an-hour pitch. So that's the reason why I'm here in the broadcast booth and not down there standing in the box, as another bluff towards second. Smith-Shawver very worried about Lo Perfido with two down. Seen a lot of stolen bases, seven combined from both teams so far. Strike one, rather. Whitaker had a three-run home run yesterday. He's got a couple of ducks on the pond here in the third. Watches one miss downstairs.
Going low and inside on both of those fastballs to Whitaker. Good eye, though, from Witt. That ball was just a little bit lower than the previous fastball. Yesterday, the pitch he hit was a fastball top of the zone.
Wind up the pitch. That one is hit well. Deep left field. Parker going back. Turned around. Makes a catch in front of the wall. He nearly did it again, but needed a couple more feet, and the inning is over. Woodpeckers strand a couple of runners on base. They still trail 5-3 as we head to the fourth from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Board, and when you see your name, make some noise to let us know where you're sitting. On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Freylin Garcia. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Green Jackets, the right fielder, number 9, Connor Blair.
Freylin Garcia back on the mound after retiring two batters on two pitches. After entering the ball game with one out in the top of the third. Fourth inning now, a 5-3 lead for Augusta. Nine-hitter Connor Blair swings at the first pitch he sees, sends it out to center field. Hallmark coming in, makes the catch, and talk about efficiency. Three batters faced for Freylin Garcia, and he has retired all of them on three total pitches.
Yeah, if you start an inning with two pitches, two outs, good chance that third guy is not going to be swinging at the first one he sees. But when you end the inning on two pitches and then you open it up, there you go. It's one of the rare times you'll get three outs on three pitches.
Caleb Durbin watches ball one missed down and away, so he wanted to break that trend and lays off one that wasn't too appealing. Durbin has reached base in each of his first two trips to the plate. Singled, came around to score in the first, and walked in the second before being picked off to end the inning. Garcia with the 1-0. Breaking ball in for a strike. Didn't get to mention Garcia's numbers on the year because he's been working so quick. He's in this one into right field, falling quickly, but a good jump on the ball by Cerny. He runs it down, makes a catch for out number two, but Garcia enters tonight with a 5.61 ERA over 16 games, 25 and two-thirds innings. He has struck out 33 batters compared to 13 walks. So that ratio pretty impressive for Fraylin so far on the year. Went 1-2 with a 4.19 ERA last year. Had a bit of trouble with control, 31 walks compared to just 37 strikeouts. That first pitch misses up and away. Cal Conley also has reached base in each of his first two trips. So the key thing now is Garcia trying to settle things down against the top of this Augusta order as there's a swing and a miss. It's a 1-1 count. 1-4 through the first two times through the order for Augusta, collectively reached base all eight times they went to the plate. So Durbin, after flying out, snaps that streak. The 1-1 to Conley, down and in.
And right now, if you're a Fayetteville pitcher, you're Miguel Palma behind the plate, you just know when you give up base runners, they're probably going to be off and moving. Augusta has been more aggressive tonight than any other game in the series, so they're going to have to keep tabs when those runners are on.
2-1. Fastball upstairs, and Garcia in danger of issuing his first base runner of the game. 5 stolen bases so far for the Green Jackets. The pitch. That fastball inside corner, 3-2. Definitely one of the more active teams on the base paths this season. At Fayetteville's fate. Low for ball 4. And for the second time tonight, Cal Conley has drawn a walk. He stole second and third the last time he was on base, so Chappie would not be surprised to see him in motion once again.
Yep, been on all 3 times. It's been these hitters, the 1-4, that have been the tough ones to deal with. Fayetteville pitching's managed the 5-9 exceptionally today. So you got to try and shut down one of the main run producers this week in Quintero.
He watches a fastball up and away. He's walked in each of his 2 plate appearances. And we'll see if this is finally the trip to the plate where he is retired. The runner on first, 2 down. In the top of the 4th, 5-3 lead for the visiting Green Jackets. Rips this one, fair ball off the chalk down the right field line. It takes a big kick off the wall in right. Cerny able to get it in quickly, and that might have been a very fortunate bounce for the Woodpeckers right fielder. Up to third from first goes Conley, but nobody coming across to score. Staying at first with a single is Quintero.
Yeah, that was a very lucky bounce for Fayetteville. That ball just did barely tuck itself inside of the paint stripe. I think it actually even landed on the foul line behind the first base bag, but the wall juts out beyond the rain tarp, and had it not hit that sidewall, I think that ball gets all the way into the corner, Colin, and easily scores Cal Conley, and it turns this to a 3-run Augusta lead.
Fastball comes up and in on Brandon Parker, who finds himself in yet another RBI chance. Hit a 2-run single in the first inning, and then ripped a 2-run double in the third, already with 4 RBIs. We're still in the fourth inning. Could be shaping up for a historic night for the Green Jackets left fielder. Quintero on the move, and he will take second base on the called strike. A 1-1 count, but 2 more runners in scoring position for Parker. Ball game for Augusta. Garcia, look at third. Here's the 1-1. Hit on the ground, left side. Molina picks it up, throws across, and Parker is retired to end the inning. A big out recorded by Fraylin Garcia, who has gone an inning and two-thirds scoreless. We end the bottom half of the fourth inning. Still a 5-3 lead for the Green Jackets on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take it away, T.
Oh, yeah, this is how we're doing things. It's a special birthday today. This is Miss Rose Perry, and she looks amazing. She is celebrating her 70th, yes, you heard me, 70th birthday today with her crew. All right, here we go. Let's sing happy birthday to Miss Perry. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday. It's a national holiday. She's going to celebrate well, isn't that right? Let's give it up for our party crew over here. Yeah! Woo-woo!
There's not a better place to take in your birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake courtesy of Bernie's Sweets and More. Contact the Woodpeckers front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium. For the Green Jackets, A.J. Smith-Shawver. The left fielder, the power hitter of the game, number 44, Rainier Rivas.
8-9-1 hitters due up in the bottom of the fourth inning for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, who trail 5-3 to the Augusta Green Jackets. Fastball from A.J. Smith-Shawver. Starting pitcher misses upstairs to Rainier Rivas. Struck out looking, his only trip so far against Smith-Shawver. And here he gets his hands tied up on a low and inside fastball, 1-1 the count. Been a rough start to the series for Rivas. Now hitting 180 on the season. Still looking for that first hit. And he takes a close breaking ball for ball two. Again, the start of the second half of the season in the Carolina League, so a fresh slate as far as the standings go. Fastball fouled straight back. It's 2-2. Looking across the Carolina League, all these teams just trying to get off to a strong start and push for that playoff spot. Winning the second half championship. 2-2 fouled off. The two teams that don't have to worry about that are the Myrtle Beach Pelicans in the south and the Lynchburg Hillcats in the north. Lynchburg leading Delmarva 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth inning. Trying to get off to a strong start and pick up right where they left off. Another 2-2 and Rivas chops it foul. Myrtle Beach, on the other hand, also doing well. Bottom five, a 5-2 lead for them over the Kannapolis Cannonballers after an extra innings win. Locked up that division title for the first half for the Pelicans. Down East, 3-0 lead over the Carolina Mudcats. They also have the bases loaded in the bottom of the fifth. Rivas chases one out of the strike zone in the dirt. Tag placed by Zabrowski, and he goes down on strikes for the second time tonight. So with one down, that'll bring up the nine-hitter Jackson Hallmark.
And you can tell A.J. Smith-Shawver's gotten a lot more reps. Scout was capped at, I think, about 45 when the Woodpeckers last saw him. And today, the Green Jackets have shown a willingness to stretch him out a little bit further. Fastball's been sharp, and it really looks like he's been in lockstep with Zabrowski the whole game as to how they want to vary up the speeds. And he's been using just about every pitch in the repertoire tonight comfortably.
Starts Hallmark off with an inside corner fastball for strike one. 7 strikeouts now for Smith-Shawver. Just misses with that off speed. It's not even close, though, to his season high in strikeouts. Pitched 5 innings against the Columbia Fireflies back on May 10th and struck out a dozen. As that fastball comes up and in and nearly clips Hallmark, who loses his helmet in the process. And no, it actually did glance off his helmet. I didn't think it hit him, Chappie.
And I didn't think so either.
That's the protest right now for Adam Zebrowski. And out comes Nestor Perez, who was not happy with the call by home plate umpire Brian Laws. He's got his hands outstretched and wondering on what planet did that ball hit Hallmark's helmet.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it hit his helmet. It looked like Brian Laws, when he originally called it a hit by pitch, might have pointed to the bottom of his elbow. So I think it might have clipped Hallmark going by him, and Hallmark's talking with Augusta first baseman Braulio Vasquez right now. And I think Nestor Perez wants a challenge with the, or at least a conversation to happen between Brian Laws and his base umpire, but Shea Graham can't offer much insight to that conversation.
No.
That's, if it did hit Hallmark, it barely nicked him, and nobody's going to know that other than the home plate man. And Nestor Perez puts up a long argument, but doesn't result in a reversal.
So that goes in the books as the second, or excuse me, the third hit batter now for A.J. Smith-Shawver. It's a one-out base runner for Fayette coming up. Cody Orr steps to the plate. Catcher Adam Zebrowski was kind of motioning towards his elbow, so I think you're right, Andrew, about where that ball apparently hit Hallmark. Quick pickoff move by Smith-Shawver. Keeping an eye on Hallmark, who's got plenty of speed, and he's off and running. Swing and a fly ball out towards shallow center field. This one falling quickly. A long run for Conley. Makes the catch. Throws back across his body, and it's a very close play at first, but Hallmark just able to get his hand back on the bag. A good stretch by Vasquez, who was jumping up and down. Certain they had him doubled off, but it will only be one out, the second of the inning. And Orr is retired on a pop out to the shortstop.
Well, the only reason that play is so close, getting back into first base, is because Hallmark, after the ball was hit in the air, he didn't really pick his head up to see where the ball was. He just went straight into second with a head first dive. And it wasn't until he got back to his feet he realized where the ball was and had to sprint all the way back.
And now a quick pickoff move, and they got him at first. So the Green Jackets end up getting the out regardless, as Hallmark is caught napping over at first to end the inning. He was hit by a pitch, but just a couple moments later he's picked off to end the fourth. The end of the fifth, Augusta 5, Fayetteville 3 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Wakanda forever.
The world, I fight you, I fight myself, I fight, just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorsteps. Life we live, no puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men clutching on death.
Don't forget, fans, stop by the fan information table and purchase your Launcha Ball. Launcha Ball will kick off right before the Q98 fireworks. Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 37, Christian Mejias. Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Green Jackets, the center fielder, number 1, Steven Pellini.
onto the fifth from Segra Stadium. 5-3 lead for the visiting Augusta Green Jackets over the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Stephen Paulini, the center fielder, will lead things off in the top of the fifth for Augusta as they look to add to their two-run lead. First pitch, fastball just up and away. New arm on the mound for Fayetteville. And to tell you about him, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. Christian Mejia swinging, throwing the pitch. Paulini pops it up over our heads in the booth, and it's a one ball and one strike count. Mejia has a 2-1 record and a 3.68 ERA. He's pitching in his eighth game of the year and fourth out of the bullpen. Fastball strike on that outside edge. It's 1-2. 29 and a third total innings. He's given up 12 earned runs, 3 home runs. Outs, 2-strike pitch, a slider that dives low and inside. 2-2. Mejia is a 1.26 whip and holding opposing bats to a 234 average. Here's the wind, 2-2 home. Paulini looks at it a little bit low. Don't know where that ball missed. That looked front and center, and I suppose just a little bit low. So now the payoff. And Paulini hits a soft liner left center field, and that will drop for a single. He didn't get all of that ball by any means. It was in on the hand. Sounded like it came off the handle of the bat. And Paulini, with those wrists just strong enough, able to punch a single. His first base hit of the night. He goes to 1-for-2.
And we can add Paulini now to that group, 1-for-4. He's reached base twice.
Yeah.
Good job just not trying to do too much. 3-2 count, put bat on ball, and it drops just in front of Jackson Hallmark for a leadoff single.
Now out of the stretch, Mejia misses outside with a fastball. And it's 1-0 on the catcher, Adam Zabrowski. Singled in the first inning, was left on base in that two-run top first for Augusta. And then struck out looking against Miguel Uyola in the third. Swing and a miss on a high change, and it's 1-1. That was the final batter that Miguel Uyola faced tonight. One of his shorter starts this year, just 2 1/3, giving up 5 hits and 5 earned runs. Also 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. Paulini leaning off of first. Takes that secondary lead as the pitch comes in and it's fouled back. 1-2. Christian Mejia last pitched here at Segra Stadium during the Saturday night doubleheader, game 2 against the Kannapolis Cannonballers. He got the start in that one. Slide steps home. Zabrowski pops this one up behind the mound. Shortstop Molina taking control, and he makes the catch towards the fringe of the infield grass. Zabrowski out for out number one of the fifth. And in that game, Mejia went a couple earned runs. Did allow a home run. But set a new season high with his 8 strikeouts. The career high with the Woodpeckers is 10. He did that over 4 innings in relief last year in Charleston. Or rather, that was against Kannapolis when he did it in 2021. Charleston was the scene of the injury for Mejia, the elbow injury. Ended his 2021 season prematurely. Tommy John, but been looking sharp and throwing even harder now post-surgery. Pitch to Braulio Vasquez is a high outside corner fastball. Just clipped that zone for strike one. Vasquez has struck out and also grounded out to second base. Paulini can run, but right now he's holding it first. Big hole on the right side or press towards the middle. And here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Got him to sweep way outside at a slider, and it's 0-2. Part of the reason that Paulini probably second-guessing a steal attempt down at first is just because of how quick Mejia is to the plate. Hardly picks up that leg and slides right down the mound. Gets his sign from Palma. Target set up and in. Here it comes. Pitch missed away.
So I was looking at the most stolen bases by an opponent this season. Coincidentally enough, 5 from Augusta back on April 25th. So they've already equaled that tonight.
So base running remains the same. Still aggressive a month later. Broken bat, rolled out towards second, right to the shifted Cody Orr. He collects, backhands, turned to first, not in time. They get the leading runner. Cody Orr makes a nice play, backhanding to Molina to start the attempted double play. Nearly had a 4-6-3, but Braulio Vasquez is able to just barely stomp on that first base bag before the throw came in.
The more I watch Leo's Danny Molina, play the shortstop position. The more he reminds me of Javi Baez. I mean, that was a good flip from Moore, but he caught it in stride, made that left foot touch the bag, and then instantly was able to throw that across. Just too much speed from that.
Left-handed hitter Mekhi Backstrom is in. And the first pitch from Mejias, a changeup down and inside for ball one. Those larger bases help as well. Those infielders sweep across the bag. Feel a little more comfortable that they're not going to get spiked when the runner slides in. Another busted bat. And this rolls softly out towards Loperfido at first. He runs it over the bag himself after the pickup. And Mekhi Backstrom is another Augusta Green Jacket to shatter the lumber. And he's retired to end a scoreless fifth inning for Mejias. Leaves a man on. We're halfway through it tonight. The Green Jackets still lead by a 5-2 margin.
Join the Army in 2020. Specialist King currently serves as a military intelligence systems maintainer, integrator within the 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division Military Intelligence Company, ensuring that the intelligence warfighting function systems are fully mission capable to deliver timely and accurate intelligence for the brigade. Fans, let's hear it for tonight's Methodist University hometown hero, Specialist Isaiah King. Thank you for your service.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to...
Fans, don't forget there's still time to bid on tonight's Marvel Captain America jerseys. Stop by the auction table. Plus, our online auction opens tonight at 8 p.m. Back on the mound for the Green Jackets, A.J. Smith-Shawver. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 12, Leostani Molina.
Bottom five, Green Jackets leading the Woodpeckers 5-3 in game one of the second half of the Carolina League season. Leostani Molina leads it off against A.J. Smith-Shawver and swings through a high slider. No luck tonight for Molina against A.J. 0-2, two strikeouts, and here's the pitch. Fly ball hit out into left center field. That'll send Paulini to his right, Parker to his left. Center fielder cuts in front of the left fielder, makes the grab. Molina gone on two pitches. Well, A.J. Smith-Shawver going longer than most of us thought he would today after a first inning when he gave up three runs, and there was even a point with that pitch count getting into the mid-20s in the first where Augusta had their bullpen active. They still have a right-hander throwing, but he really calmed things down for that bullpen second, third, and fourth. He's given up all three of his runs in that first inning, but responded with three scoreless and is trying to complete five and become eligible for a winning decision tonight. If he can get a win, it'll be just his second of the year. Cerny has one hand fly off of the handle and swings and misses. At a low fastball, 0-2.
Just one hit allowed since that first inning.
A couple of additional base runners that have come on hit by pitches. As Cerny looks at strike three, and A.J. Smith-Shawver has tallied up eight strikeouts tonight. And has two quick outs in the bottom of the fifth inning to bring up Joey Loperfido. Colin mentioned the night that he hit a dozen hitters. That was back on May 10th. But the eight strikeouts tonight is tied for the second most in a single game. I mean, he was just lights out against that 12-strikeout performance came on a Tuesday. Then he closed the series with eight Ks over 4 2/3. But tonight is highest tally in the strikeout column since that dominant series. Here's the 0-1 for Loperfido. Pops in and out of the mitt and missed outside. One ball and one strike. Loperfido drove in one of those three Fayetteville runs in the first, an RBI single into right center. That was the 32nd run driven in of the season for Joey. Pitch misses down low, and it's two balls and a strike. Lo Perfido is one of those guys that could receive the call-up to high A at any point now at this stage in the year, especially come draft time in a few weeks. Swinging a fastball top of the zone. So Lo Perfido could be gone by next series, quite frankly. He's shown that he's almost mastered this level of the minor leagues. Here's the 2-2, and swings at one that ricochets back towards Zabrowski off the backstop, and he'll just look Lo Perfido back to the dugout. Well, we wouldn't mind keeping Joey around a little bit longer if that's what it takes, but it's a 1-2-3 inning for A.J. Smith-Shawver. We're through five, and the Woodpeckers are behind 5-3.
In-person jersey auction. Bidding will close at the last out of the seventh inning. The other half will be placed online for bidding until Tuesday at 8 p.m. Stop by the auction table on the concourse to cast those final bids. On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Christian Mejias. Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Green Jackets, the right fielder, number 9, Connor Blair.
Top of the sixth inning in downtown Fayetteville, 2-run ball game. The Green Jackets up 5-3. Very first pitch from Christian Mejias to Connor Blair is skied over the third base netting, and then a one hop onto the train tracks. 0-1 count on Connor Blair. 9 hitter is hitless tonight, 0-2. Looking strikeout in the second, flat out to center field against Fraylin Garcia in the fourth. Mejias the pitch, line drive hit foul, third base side. Mejias pitched a scoreless fifth inning. He came on behind Garcia. Starter Miguel Uyola gave up all 5 Green Jackets runs over the first 2 1/3. So he's still on the hook for the loss if the Fayetteville offense can't tie or take the lead. Meanwhile, A.J. Smith-Shawver has completed 5, eligible for his second winning decision of the year. Mejias rocks and delivers and missed a little high. They do appeal down to first, but Shea Graham says that Blair held up. Caleb Durbin at the top of the lineup stands on deck, and Cal Conley, switch hitter, is in the hole. 20th pitch for Mejias, his 1-2 slider. Low and away outside of the zone, and Mejias has his first strikeout tonight. One gone, top of the order. Well, here in the second half, we decided to incorporate a new little element into the broadcast. This day in baseball history. Heard some other broadcasts mention it, so we wanted to try and incorporate it ourselves. Could be Woodpeckers related, Astros related, Major League related. Fastballs make it a changeup strike. First one to Caleb Durbin. So why not start this new second half segment? A little baseball history regarding our friend of the broadcast, Jeff Bagwell. 0-1. Fastball strike, and it's quickly 0-2. This day, April, make it to June 24, 1994. It's that 18 years ago, Jeff Bagwell. Of the 18? Astros. Is that 18 years ago?
28.
28 years ago. Bad math on my part. Raging Jeff Bagwell up here as the line drive is hit foul up above the rain tarp. But Jeff Bagwell becomes the 28th player to hit two home runs in one inning in big league history. Hits a sixth inning home run against the LA Dodgers and then an eighth inning or another one later on in the inning.
That was his 1994 NL MVP season during the strike-shortened year.
And the pitch missed a little bit high. Yeah, a couple months later, the sport shut down. Lost the World Series. Durbin in a one-ball, two-strike count. Mejias winding and throwing. And striking out Durbin. Back-to-back strikeouts for Mejias. And he's gotten both of the Augusta bats on breaking balls, Blair and Durbin. And that'll bring up Cal Conley.
It's a great thing about this duo of Uyola and Mejias. Even when one has a rough outing, you get the bridge, and Garcia does his job, gets you to Mejias. Just like having a second starting pitcher out there, a guy who can go deep in the ball game and provides you with a great amount of strikeouts.
First one fouled back by Conley before he hit the two home runs in the sixth inning, and then he actually added another one in the eighth inning, so it was a three home run day. But just the 28th player in the history of the sport to hit two homers in the same inning as the Astros batted around. National League Ball Club at the time, facing the Dodgers. Wraparound breaking ball just missed outside. One ball and one strike. Mejias winds and throws. And missed just inside, not by much. 2-1.
That was just the fifth time that a Houston Astro hit three home runs in one game, and that was the first of three times that Bagwell would do it. You do it in three consecutive times. So that one fouled back. Did it twice in the year 1999. Most recent one coming in the 2017 ALDS. Jose Altuve, three home runs against the Boston Red Sox, including a couple against starter Chris Sale.
30th pitch incoming for Mejias, the 2-2. Inside, and that got a piece of Cal Conley. Hit him on the left arm, his back arm. And he's holding that arm stiff off to his side as he walks up the first base side. Looked like he wanted to start his swing on a pitch up above the zone, and that elbow crossed into kind of a vulnerable spot. And he ends up on first with a hit by pitch. Been a lot of plunked batters today. Most of them have been the Fayetteville hitters that have been getting hit. Three Fayetteville batters have been plunked, and that's the first Augusta Green Jacket to be hit by a pitch.
Yeah, a lot of hit batters so far in this game. Ibuprofen will be a plenty in the clubhouses after this one.
And now it's Geraldo Quintero. He scoots out of the way of an inside fastball, and it's 1-0. Quintero has been on all three times he stepped to the plate. Two walks and a single in two bases. 5-3 Green Jackets in the top of the sixth inning. Two away. Spin and a throw over to first. Very close as Loperfido planted the tag, but Conley got a hand back in.
Just want to make a quick correction, actually. Altuve was the only time in the postseason that there was three home runs in Houston Astros franchise history. The last time it took place was actually George Springer, September 22nd of 2019.
Fly ball hit the opposite way to left for Rainier Rivas. And a routine catch at the chest in the inning. Got a hunch that Yordan Alvarez might get on that list sometime soon with the type of season he's been having.
Oh, just to interrupt real quick, he's actually done it in August of 2019.
Well, there you go.
Runs, and a 23-2 victory for the Astros.
Go figure. Christian Mejias threw two scoreless tonight as we go to the bottom of the sixth inning. It's 5-3 Augusta.
Each individual will take home a prize courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's high performance season ticket holder of the game is Brian Gallagher. Congratulations, Brian. It's time. time to recognize our nonprofit of the night. Our nonprofit of the night is the Salvation Army. For more information on how you can become the nonprofit of the night, visit the fan information table on the concourse.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You can bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me. You and all your expectations. I don't even want your congratulations. I recognize your false confidence and calculated promises all in your conversations. I hate people that feel entitled. Look at me crazy cause I ain't invite you. Oh, you important, you the moral to the story. You endorsing motherfucker, I don't even like you. Corrupt a man's heart with a gift. That's how you percentage you I'm building with.
Fans, this Green Jackets pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Green Jackets, number 11, Juan Mateo. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the designated hitter, number 10, Justin Williams.
The Woodpeckers one small rally away from being right back in this thing. It's a 5-3 Augusta lead in the bottom of the sixth inning. Game four of our six-game series. Juan Mateo has taken over as Augusta goes to the bullpen for the first time tonight, and he misses up high with a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. Hard throw with a fastball, slider, and changeup. Pitching for the first time in Fayetteville this week. A.J. Smith-Shaver, the starter, goes five. Here's the pitch to Williams, and he punches it foul over the first base seats. Final line for Smith-Shaver tonight reads his five complete innings. He gave up four hits and three runs. All three are earned. No walks and nine strikeouts. Second most in a game this year for AJ. And the one strike pitch is a fastball knee level, called strike two. Williams, Miguel Palma, and Tyler Whitaker to face Juan Mateo, who last pitched on the road against the Columbia Fireflies on June 11th. Eyes in, throws, and misses down and away. 100 flashes on the stadium radar gun with that pitch. Two balls and two strikes on Justin Williams. Williams 0 for 2, now 1 for 12 in the series. Tonight he struck out swinging and grounded out. A tall stance for Williams. Swings a black-colored bat as he swings at the 2-2, bounces it on two hops out towards short, playing it towards the grass Conley, and he throws out Williams for the first out of the sixth inning. And it'll bring up Miguel Palma.
Palma look to continue his strong return. Again, gave that spark that Fayetteville needed to give them the lead in the first inning. Just trying to get that mojo back that they had early on against Smith-Shaver, now against the reliever Mateo.
First one to Palma is fouled off of his foot. Another 100-mile-per-hour fastball. Radar gun a little bit hot here in the park, but you see that. Generally, he's in the 98-99 territory. Mateo is 4-0 with a 1.98 ERA. He's pitching out of the Augusta bullpen for a 17th time. It's a season high or a team high total, 17 appearances. Has three saves and four opportunities. 0-1, down in the dirt. 23 and a third total innings. He's given up five earned runs, 16 walks, and 24 strikeouts, averaging about a K per inning. Missed down low, and a 1-1 count on Palma, who has doubled in a pair of runs today. The pitch is chopped out towards third base. Charging forward is Quintero. Fields even with the bag. His throw is off the first base bag. Vasquez tried to adjust in the air and drop a tag, but he missed Palma, and Miguel legs it out. May have an E5 coming up here, though. We'll see.
Yeah, it's likely the case. But it seems like every time there's a ground ball in the infield, Miguel Palma makes it a close play, which is impressive. You don't see too many catchers that are able to leg out infield singles and, you know, force tough plays. But Miguel, certainly a guy who never quits running down the line, and he is rewarded with his effort.
So now it's Tyler Whitaker, and he almost delivered the swing of the evening back in the third. With two runners on, he hit a fly ball all the way to the base. Takes the first pitch fastball down and in. Almost made it back-to-back nights with three-run homers. Hit it over to the bullpens yesterday and fell just a foot or two short against A.J. Smith-Shaw for his last time up. Palma off of first, big hole on the right side with the second baseman shifted over, and Whitaker grounds it again towards third. Shallow for Quintero, fields on the grass and throws on the move and makes up for the previous play on a nice quick effort to retire Whitaker. Palma gets to second base, though. Tying run still represented at the plate with Rainier Rivas.
Good charge there. Tough play for Quintero, having to throw on the run. Whitaker, a lot of speed coming down that line. But like you said, Chappie, able to redeem himself for that previous errant throw.
Rivas ready. First pitch is fouled over our heads, and it's 0-1. Juan Mateo, not a guy that Augusta is going to go to for the rest of the night. Generally, he's a one-inning-per-outing type pitcher. On a few occasions, they've stretched him through to a second inning. Longest outing this year is 2 1/3, so he's not going to be on the mound for the rest of the night, one would think, by looking at the game log as the slider dips down low. His last outing, we mentioned, on the road in Columbia against the Fireflies. He tossed a scoreless inning, gave up just one hit, and it didn't strike out anybody. Official de-scoring decision on the Palma play, by the way, is an E5 on Quintero. And now here's the 1-1 pitch to Rivas. Swing and a miss on a low and away fastball, again registering 100 miles an hour on the stadium radar gun. That's the fourth or fifth 100 that's flashed up there.
It used to be a historic event in baseball, yeah, about 20 years ago, and now
ho-hum.
You'll see it every once in a while.
Still a little bit of a rarity in this league. As Rivas reaches out, fouls one back. Even some of the hardest throwers for Fayetteville, like Jacob Coates and Fraylin Garcia, those guys are generally in the 97. We'll flash a couple 98. We really have not had any 100-mile-per-hour guys the last couple of years come through Fayetteville. 1-2 pitch. Skips in the dirt and gets away from Zebrowski. Palma hustling down to third base, and he's in on the wild pitch. Juan Mateo cut one loose.
And then you got guys in college right now like Ben Joyce throwing 105.
Man, Tennessee ball player. Got to wonder where he may go in this year's Major League Draft, upcoming in a few weeks around the All-Star break. 2-2 pitch to Rivas. Is hit off the middle and skips into center field. This is a one-run game. Palma comes home from third. Rainier Rivas, a two-out single. 5-4. And the Woodpeckers have their first run since the first inning.
Not a bad time to break out your first hit of the series. 0-9 prior to then. A couple of strikeouts tonight. Had his back against the wall. Rivas gets a pitch down in the zone. And just golfs it right up the middle. Another hard ground ball, which we've been accustomed to seeing from Rivas over the past week, and able to bring this lead back down to one.
Now it's Jackson Hallmark. And he stays patient on the first one. A slider drifts outside, and it's 1-0. Hallmark was just barely grazed, or so we think, with a pitch in the fourth. That was the decision by the home plate umpire Brian Laws. Drew an argument out of the manager Nestor Perez. Fastball down and inside. Two balls, no strikes on Hallmark, so he's reached, but he's 0-1 with a strikeout back in the second against Smith-Shawver. Here's the 2-0. Down and in again. Three balls and no strikes on Hallmark. The tying run is on base. And Rainier Rivas, a walk would push it into scoring position and get the go-ahead run on for the top of the order. Cody Orr, he's on deck. So big couple of pitches upcoming here from Juan Mateo, fresh out of the bullpen. Pitch, strike. Juan Mateo pulled back on that one a little bit, only 98 miles an hour. This will be his 20th pitch of the inning. The pitch, And Hallmark just got a piece of it, fouls it back into the netting. Full count, 3-2. There's only two hitters in the 5-9 of the Fayetteville order that have base hits tonight. That's Palma and Rivas. So Hallmark trying to add to some of that lower lineup production and got a piece of a fastball again. 98. A foul off, and Rivas, who was moving on the pitch, has to scroll back over to first. He'll be off and running again. 3-2 and two outs in the bottom of the sixth inning. A 5-4 game after the Rivas single. Juan Mateo tucks that tan-colored glove into his left armpit. Zabrowski shuffles through the signs, and Mateo sets at the belt. Here's his kick, here's his pitch, and Hallmark bounces it off of Mateo on the mound. He scuffles with it on the bottom of the slope and won't have a play. Hallmark makes it on. Rivas gets to second. And Juan Mateo, in retrospect, probably should have let that one go by him. Middle infielder's ready to make a play, but he couldn't pick it up cleanly behind the mound. Don't think they'll assess an error there just because it was an out-of-the-ordinary effort he had to make to try and grab that one up above his head. Wait for the scoring decision to come in, but the go-ahead run is on. Put the ball in play, and sometimes something in your favor goes down.
It's been a really nice stretch now for Jackson Hallmark at the plate. He has reached base in five of his last trips to the plate. And sometimes a little luck doesn't hurt, but that ball was hit really hard, as you mentioned, Andrew. Went off the glove of Mateo, and when you got a guy like Hallmark running down the line, you got to think quickly as a pitcher, try to locate that ball, and he just could not find it. And this will go in the books as a single for Hallmark, so safely in back-to-back games now, and all of a sudden he represents the go-ahead run.
So here's Cody Orr. Top of the Fayetteville order. First one from Mateo. Swing and a miss on a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. Or timed one up in the second facing A.J. Smith-Shawver. Connected for a single into right field. Base hit could tie it. And Orr shatters the bat. Barrel goes flying past the mound. Conley dodging, throws low to first. It kicks away from Vasquez. Here comes Rivas down the line from third. He scores, and this game is tied. 5-5. More franticness on the infield. Hallmark gets to third. Orr stays at first. There'll be an error assess. Conley going to be hit with an error. That throw is low. Accurate throw gets Cody Orr. So it'll be an unearned run against Juan Mateo. But the Woodpeckers have plated two here in the sixth inning, and the Green Jackets have committed two errors along the way.
And you wonder if that broken bat just kind of made Conley second-guess himself as he uncorked that throw, skipped it in. Vasquez couldn't dig it out. Five apiece.
And Leo's Danny Molina hacks at the first one, fouls it off, 0-1. He'll go down as an E6. No RBI for Cody Orr as a result. But runners on the corners. Go ahead, man, 90 feet away. Molina 0-3, trying to put an end to that skid. A couple of strikeouts, fly out to center. Spin and a throw over to first, keeping eyes on the trailing runner. Not only have those Green Jackets base runners been aggressive tonight, but the pitchers have also been extra cautious with Fayetteville runners on. A.J. Smith-Shawver was picking over just about every inning, and now Juan Mateo keeping tabs. Two away. And the 0-1 pitch to Molina. He swings, lines it out to center field. Will it stay up? It does. And Stephen Paulini able to make a shoulder-high grab, ending the sixth. But an unearned run comes across. And just by the Green Jackets, Woodpeckers scratch across two, but leave two on as well. New ball game as we go to the seventh. Knotted up on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
With a game of Who Said It? T. Bright is with our contestant now. Take it away, T.
All right, Liam, you ready for this? You represent the Rangers, okay? We can do this. He's got to figure out who said this quote. It's one of the superheroes. We can do this. Here we go. Thou shalt wreck no more. I guess he said it like that. Who said that?
Captain America.
He said it was Captain America. Is he right? It was Thor! I can see that with the little thingy-ma-jig. Yeah. All right, let's go.
for the taking. He probably didn't say it like that either, but who is it?
Loki.
Loki. I know that's right. They know. All right. Way to go, Leo. Okay, here's the other one. Now and forevermore, I am a man of the people. Who said that? He's going with Captain America on that one. Yeah, that sounds right. Yes, Liam, yeah. All right, let's give it up for Liam, everybody. Way to go.
Fans, it's time for the Budweiser Zero Last Call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Christian Mejias. Leading off the top of the seventh inning for the Green Jackets, the left fielder, number 24, Brandon Parker.
4-5 and 6 to face Christian Mejias in a 5-5, their first run since the first inning. So should be a fun one down the final stretch. Another close one between the Woodpeckers and the Green Jackets to take you through the seventh inning on the play-by-play. Here's Colin.
Thank you, Andrew. Brandon Parker, who has four RBIs tonight, takes a big rip at an off-speed pitch from Christian Mejias, fouls it straight back. The count now 0-2. Fayetteville fell behind 2-0 in the top of the first inning before scoring three in the bottom half to briefly take a one-run lead. It's the 0-2. Swung on and missed. And Mejias picks up another strikeout, his third. Parker is retired for the second straight at-bat. Falls to 2-for-4 on the night. That's the first out of the seventh inning. But Augusta picked up three more runs in the top of the third inning to take a 5-3 lead. And moments ago, bottom half of the inning, a couple of defensive miscues by the Green Jackets allow the Woodpeckers to even the score at 5 after 6 innings. Chopper, right side. Some weird spin on it, but played by Loperfido, touches the bag. Paulini took a couple of steps towards first base, but didn't even let go of the bat as he heads back to the dugout. And Christian Mejias continues to be lights out of the bullpen. Still scoreless through 2 2/3 innings. He looked to make it a 1-2-3 inning for the first time tonight. All that stands in his way is Adam Zabrowski. His first pitch just misses the strike zone. The windup, the 1-0, and then Zabrowski fouls it off. Adam 1-for-3 tonight. A single, a strikeout, and a pop-out. A nod from Mejias. And the 1-1. Hit on the ground, left side, gloved by Justin Williams. Throws across the diamond. And how about that? A lightning quick top of the seventh inning. 1-2-3 for Christian Mejias. Stretch time from Segra Stadium. Augusta 5, Fayetteville 5. A thriller in the opening game of the second half of the Carolina League season. We'll be back for the bottom half on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take. Sing a little louder. I. So it's root. Packers. Sing it loud. At the old. Atta boy, Packers. Atta boy.
There's a place you can go. I said, yeah.
Now let's sing this loud.
Short on your dough. You can stay there. And I'm sure you will.
Yeah. Green Jackets pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Green Jackets, number 18, James Acuna.
New arm on the mound for Augusta. Right-hander James Acuna enters the game for Juan Mateo, who pitches just one inning. Gives up a pair of runs, but neither of them are earned, thanks to a couple of errors in the field by the Green Jackets. And so with a tie game, it's Acuna who will face the heart of the Woodpeckers' order. Logan Cerny fouls off the second pitch he sees. Falls behind nothing and two. Cerny tonight, 1-for-3 with a single and a run scored, but he has struck out twice since then. Acuna coming in with a... coming in with a couple of strong outings, his last couple. And he will just be tasked with trying to keep this a tie ball game. Skips in a breaking ball, 0-2. 2.13 earned run average on the season for James Acuna.
Yeah, it's 25 and a third total innings as well. Only 6 earned runs given up all year long, and he's only allowed 1 home run, 17 walks to 32 strikeouts.
From Long Beach, California, another 2-strike pitch, and Cerny just able to stay alive. Drafted back in 2019, back in the 29th round. 24-year-old looking to keep this one at 5-5, the sixth inning for Augusta in the field. Cerny awaits the 1-2. Swung on and missed, and for the third time tonight, Logan Cerny strikes out. So a good start to the outing for Acuna, and with one down, that'll bring up the cleanup man, Joey Loperfido. Tonight, Joey 1-for-3, singled in a run, came around to score in the first inning, reached on an error in the third, struck out swinging his last time up in the bottom of the fifth. First pitch to Joey. Off speed, just below the knees. Loperfido, the team leader in average, hits, doubles. Watches strike one. I think Easley's been the most consistent guy in the order all season long for Fayetteville. You know what you're going to get out of him. Got on base for 33 consecutive games. A reliable man in the middle of that lineup. He's ahead 2-1. There's another thing he's done great all season long is get into favorable counts. As Andrew mentioned earlier in the broadcast, feels like his days in Fayetteville are numbered. The 2-1. Hit on the ground to second. Durbin gets it cleanly. Throw on to Vasquez in time. And Acuna, with a strong start out of the pen, retires the first two batters he faces in the bottom of the seventh. And in steps designated hitter Justin Williams.
Keep in mind, the Green Jackets could utilize Rob Griswold again tonight. It was a very short one out, third of an inning for him the other night when Augusta needed to lock it up. So he's a tough arm to deal with, back end of the bullpen. So if you're Fayetteville, try and get something here early and be on the other side of things where you're the one sending out your closer.
Griswold recording 5 saves among the league leader in that department. Swing and a miss. Williams pitching like this might be a guy to go to. He has gone 3 innings before, back on May 17th on the road against the Charleston River Dogs. His longest outing of the year. 0-2, breaking ball laid off by Williams.
And for Acuna, it's just the experience factor. He was with Augusta all last year, 31 games. This is his 45th game in the Carolina League, so this is just another day on the job for him.
1-2, and Williams sends it foul off to the right. And one more dependable arms out of the bullpen for Augusta. Allowed one run or less in 25 of 31 outings in 2021. Struck out 62 batters over 47 and two-thirds innings. 2 balls, 2 strikes, the pitch. And again, Williams stays alive with a foul ball. Former Oregon Duck, Acuna. Ended up transferring, though, to Azusa Pacific University after his sophomore year, where he ended up working exclusively as a starting pitcher. And Williams swings at a breaking pitch and strikes out to end the inning. So James Acuna strikes out a pair of woodpeckers en route to a 1-2-3 bottom of the seventh inning. We remain deadlocked at 5 at Segra Stadium as we head to the 8th on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take it away, T.
All right, Tiffany, are we ready? Let's give it up for Tiffany, everybody. She is ready. We're going to guess the attendance. She's got to guess how many people are here tonight. We've been counting. We haven't been counting. But you guys can help her out. You guys ready? Here we go. Here are the choices. A, B, or C, Tiffany. What do you think? What do you guys think? All right, what you hear? Pick one.
Go.
C? C. We're going with C because C gets degrees. What A's are better. That's all right, Tiffany. Let's give it up for Tiffany, everybody. 4,830.
Fans, it's last call for Launch-A-Ball. Stop by the fan information table and purchase your tennis ball. Launch-A-Ball will kick off right before fireworks. Mound for the Woodpeckers, Christian Mejias. Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Green Jackets, the first baseman, number 15, Braulio Vasquez.
Christian Mejias back on the mound for his fourth inning of work. He'll face the bottom of the Augusta Green Jackets order. 5-5 ball game, top of the eighth inning. First pitch is fouled off, and to take us through the conclusion, the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, Colin, Fayetteville trying to even up this series. Augusta wants to go in front 3-1. Braulio Vasquez takes up and outside. Fayetteville trying to remain undefeated in the second half of the season. 1-1 on Vasquez. Mejia's been working since the fifth, delivers, and Vasquez takes a big swing, pulled his head out of the zone on a changeup. Mejias gets ahead 1-2. He's trying to complete 4 scoreless innings for the second time in June. He did so on June 10th on the road against the Delmarva Shorebirds. The 1-2 pitch misses up high, and it's 2 balls and 2 strikes. Mejias almost completed 5 innings his last time against the Cannonballers. That was on Saturday, went 4 2/3. Here's the pitch. Bouncer towards third, but foul. Count stays where it is, and Mejias has not given up a base hit since he came on in the fifth inning to the very first batter he faced, Stephen Paulini. Now, he's allowed a couple of base runners on just a fielder's choice and a hit by pitch, but that's all. 2-2 again. Vasquez strikes out swinging. 95-mile-per-hour fastball in the high outside corner, and Christian Mejias has 4 Ks and 1 out at the top of the eighth.
Not much from the Augusta bottom of the order so far in this ballgame. They're now combined 0-10 with just a fielder's choice from Vasquez to reach base. But this time he looked overmatched against Mejias. Challenge fastball up and away, 95 miles an hour. No way he's catching up to that.
Yeah, it's been all soft contact tonight for Mekhi Backstrom, new lefty who steps in. He checks the swing, but it's a called strike anyways on a backdoor slider. The wind and delivery. Knuckled foul into the screen, 0-2. Backstrom has rolled out towards Joey Loperfido on a pair of 3 unassisted. The plays, and he's also struck out looking. Miguel Uyola got him back in the second, 1 of 5 strikeouts for the Fayetteville starter. The 0-2 incoming. Struck him out, another high fastball, and back-to-back punch out to the eighth. Christian Mejias gets stronger as the night goes on.
Feels like that strikeout pitch. When it rains, it pours. He'll throw it a lot when he's able to get into a rhythm, that fastball especially. Once again, climbing the ladder. This time he comes in on the left-handed hitting Backstrom, and just so hard to get your barrel around when that fastball comes in up and in. got about 0.2 seconds to swing the bat. Almost impossible.
And he starts out Connor Blair, the nine hitter, with a swing and a miss. A slider to the outside. See if Mejias tries to ramp it up again with a fastball towards the back stages of the count. Back-to-back strikeouts with the fastball. Here's his pitch, and it misses up and outside. Mejias can set the season high with 5 of them now tonight. As he nods, he motions and throws and misses low and picked up by Palma on a backhand. That was the 50th pitch of the game for Christian Mejias. So he's trying to complete 4 innings here, and he's been pretty economical along the way. You can see Joe Thon even going to Mejias in the ninth. Just needs a little bit of run support. Here's the 2-1. And a bouncing ball hits softly towards third. Charging is Whitaker. Fields in front of the bag. Throws across his body, and a backhanded lunge by Loperfido pulls it in for the final out of the eighth inning. Christian Mejias retires the side in order. He set down 7 straight going back to the sixth inning. The Woodpeckers are tied with the Green Jackets 5-5. It'll be Palma, Whitaker, and Rivas to bat the bottom of the eighth next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Forget to stick around after the game for fireworks presented by Q98, number one for music, money, and fun. At this time, all patrons in the berm and the rocking porch must clear their areas. We hope that you all enjoy tonight's fireworks show following the game. Back on the mound for the Green Jackets, James Acuna. Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 18, Miguel Palma.
It's the bottom of the eighth inning, and Miguel Palma leads off against James Acuna. Acuna went to 1-2-3 in the seventh inning. Scoreless frame out of the bullpen. Comes home with the first pitch slider strike to Palma, 0-1. Tyler Whitaker and Rainier Rivas will follow in a tied 5-5 game. Palma swings and fouls it over the screen. A lot of our Friday night crowd is sticking around. Post-game launch a ball to win some prizes and then a fireworks show. 4,837 with us in the park tonight. Here's the 0-2. And Palma drills it way out to left field. Parker is retreating, gets to the track, gets to the wall. It is gone! Go-ahead home run for Miguel Palma. The Woodpeckers lead it 6-5 in the eighth, and Palma's driven in 3 tonight.
I mean, the dugout's just going nuts for him right now. What a return for Miguel Palma. Misses a week due to injury. 2-run double in the first inning, and here he just takes off on one from Acuna. Went 1-2-3 out of the pen in the seventh. Palma waiting for his pitch and just drives it out of the ballpark. I mean, what a magical night for number 18.
Palma with his 5th home run of the year. He drives in his 23rd ribby, and it's a big one. Fayetteville has their first lead since the 3rd inning, and they've scored the last 3 runs of this game to come from behind. 2 in the 6th, 1 in the 8th, and Tyler Whitaker takes strike 1. Those stadium lights were flickering on and off. I'm getting to see that a lot this year, I feel like. A lot of those home runs have come earlier in the evening when the sunlight's still out. But a little bit of a light show to go along with the Miguel Palma go-ahead solo home run. Whitaker fouled the pitch off on a check swing, and he's quickly in a no-ball, 2-strike hole.
Second half, late inning home runs for more light shows.
0-2. Swing and a miss. Whitaker caught leaning out in front. of a James Acuna slider. That is only the second home run given up this year as well by James Acuna. He had allowed just one homer over 25 and a third innings. He just simply keeps the ball in the ballpark. And Miguel Palma bucks the trend. So one away base is empty. 6-5 Fayetteville. And now Rainier Rivas lays off the first pitch down in the dirt from Acuna. Rivas singled home an important run in the sixth. Here's the 1-0. And he reaches out in front over the top of a changeup. Rivas has struck out a couple of times as well, all part of a 1-for-3 game. Miguel Palma, along with the three runs that he's driven in, has scored two. So he's contributed to four of the six tonight for Fayetteville, the 1-1. And Rivas cuts over another changeup, gets to a two-strike count. 1-2 the count.
Not only that, Palma now 7-for-17 on the season against Augusta with two doubles, two home runs, and six RBIs.
And Rivas fouls it off the end of the bat, ricochets off of Zabrowski behind the plate. James Acuna is a former University of Oregon Duck. He played for George Horton's program in 2017 and 2018. Final year with the Ducks, 2-2 record. 6.65 ERA with 31 Ks over 44 and two-thirds innings. Playing in the Pac-12. Another two-strike pitch to Rivas, and he was a little early, but bounces it foul beyond the first base bag over to Vasquez, and we'll keep it where it is at a ball and two strikes. You have momentum on the offensive end for Fayetteville, and then Christian Mejias, who's getting better as the night goes on, through four scoreless and has retired seven straight. 1-2. Rivas finally swings and misses, but a good two-strike battle. It's won by Acuna. He responds to the solo home run with back-to-back Ks. And now it's Jackson Hallmark.
Yeah, we know this game is far from over. Right now, Acuna's job just to get this final out. Augusta has been known to rally late in ball games. They did it yesterday, came up just one run short, so one run is nothing for these Green Jackets.
First pitch low to Hallmark, 92-mile-per-hour fastball. And that bullpen is quiet out there, and I think we might see more of Mejias come the ninth. His pitch count, as we mentioned, is pretty sustainable at the moment. He's just over 50 pitches through four scoreless innings. Hallmark fouled it off, 1-1. Hallmark's found ways to get on today. Hit by a pitch in the fourth and then singling in the sixth. He was left on third base in an inning where the Woodpeckers came from behind, scored a pair of runs. Lays off a high pitch, but it just clipped the top of the zone. 90 to 85 mile per hour changeup. 1-2. Infield playing straight up. Hallmark waves that black bat across the plate. Here's the pitch, and he scoots out of the way of an inside change. One ball and two strikes. Now the 2-2. Hallmark swings and grounds it left side. Third baseman Quintero cuts in front of the shortstop, plants his feet, and throws just in time to first to get Jackson Hallmark. Nice play by the third baseman Geraldo Quintero, and James Acuna sets down three in a row after the solo home run from Miguel Palma. But the Woodpeckers get the go-ahead run. They lead 6-5, and they're trying to take this Friday night ball game in the top of the ninth when we return with Mejias going back to the mound on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
With Arcade Night, the first 1,000 fans through the gate will receive a Woodpeckers 8-bit hat courtesy of PNC Bank. Plus, on Sunday, Wizards first 1,000 fans getting a Woodpeckers Wizard scarf. Don't forget, the Woodpeckers return home on Monday, July 4th, with the first 1,000 fans through the gates receiving a 4th of July t-shirt, courtesy of Tommy's Express Car Wash. Plus, following the game, we'll have our biggest fireworks show of the year, presented by Goodyear. Don't miss out on the fun, and we'll see you back here at Segra Stadium. on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Christian Mejias. Leading off the top of the ninth inning for the Green Jackets, the second baseman, number 50, Caleb Durbin.
Miguel Palma hits a solo home run to go in front in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Woodpeckers lead this thing 6-5, top nine. And Christian Mejias, through four scoreless innings, faces the top of the Augusta order. Caleb Durbin lines the first pitch foul down towards the right field rain tarp. And it's strike one on Durbin. In games this season at home that have been tied after seven innings, the Woodpeckers are at a lot of late-inning heroics like we've seen tonight. No walk-offs yet this year at Segra Stadium, and no late go-ahead home runs like we've seen tonight. But Miguel Palma, playing in his first game in a week, has driven in three runs with a two-run double and a go-ahead solo homer, his fifth of the year. Caleb Durbin now swings at a high fastball and fouls it straight back. That goes to 0-2. Cal Conley is next, and Geraldo Quintero in the hole. This is a tricky trio of hitters for Mejias to deal with. Durbin has scored a run, Conley has scored twice, and Quintero has been brought in. Pitch outside. You have Durbin, who's reached base twice tonight. Cal Conley has reached base every time he stepped to the plate, and Quintero's been on three or four times. So can Mejias finally be the guy to solve it? 1-2. A pop-up. Back behind home plate. Palma removes the mask, and he secures it on the warning track for the first down. Making plays on the defensive end as well. Palma records out number one. And Christian Mejias continues his scoreless night. 4 1/3 scoreless innings. Now the longest stretch of scoreless baseball put together by Christian Mejias this year. He did go six innings, allowing just one run back on May 24th. But with the pressure behind him right now, he's retired eight in a row. Here's Cal Conley. And a first pitch slider missed to the outside corner. 1-0.
Those two, the battery tonight, Mejias and Palma, just putting the team on the back right now. Great night for both of them so far.
Fastball pumped in, 95 taken as a strike on the inside corner. 1-1. Next pitch. Conley leans out of the way of an up and in change. Conley is only 1-for-1 tonight, but as we mentioned, he's reached four times. Two walks and a hit by pitch, along with a single in the third. He's stolen two bases and scored two runs. 2-1. Grounded out towards second base. The dirt throws to first. Two gone.
When you look back on this game, Andrew, if Fayetteville's able to get this final out, a couple of big errors loom large over the Green Jackets back in the sixth inning that allowed the Woodpeckers to tie things up and set the table for Palma's go-ahead home run in the eighth.
And that was Rainier Rivas, who scored on an E6 throwing error by the shortstop Cal Conley in the sixth. Tied the game 5-5 before the Woodpeckers got that all-important go-ahead run. Now it's Geraldo Quintero representing the final chance for the Green Jackets, and a slider missed up and away. 60 pitches for Mejias. He's been working through them. And pumps a fastball knee level for a strike, 1-1.
It's fitting it comes down to Quintero at the plate, a guy who has been so clutch in this series.
Quintero's reached twice on walks and a single. Pitch outside. Two balls and one strike. Mejias has almost been picking up the tempo as the night has gone on. He's trying to close this game out with five scoreless frames. Here's his 2-1 pitch. Quintero fouls it away, and the Green Jackets are down to their final strike tonight. Woodpeckers trailed 5-3. They've scored the last three runs of this game, and they're trying to even the series going into Saturday. Mejias locks eyes with Palma, 5,000 strong, cheering tonight. Here's the pitch, and it is strike three called on the inside corner. Christian Mejias sets down 10 in a row to end it tonight. And he K's Quintero to lock up the 6-5 victory. Miguel Palma supplies the go-ahead home run. Christian Mejias with five scoreless in relief to earn the win tonight. And the Woodpeckers are 1-0 in the second half of the 2022 season. Fun game to call tonight. We will break it all down for you next. The Woodpeckers are high-fiving in those superhero uniforms, and they pulled off a superhero-like comeback tonight. We'll talk about it all next on the postgame show right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. We'll have two shows for you tonight, one for the radio audience and then one for our television audience following tonight's Friday Night Fireworks show. Ball game over. Woodpeckers win it 6-5 right here in downtown Fayetteville.
For music, money, and fun, we'll be shooting off fireworks in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Woodpeckers win! Woodpeckers win! Woodpeckers win! Make some noise!
And if you go in, put your hands in the air, make them stay there!
Swerving in my low-low, head on a swivel, you know serving me's a no-no. Clean as a whistle as I pull out in my Rolls Royce. Yellow bone passenger, they see it, they say, oh boy. Tell Kelly, back it up, my call me loco. Down for armed traffic, you know, make me pull up. Ask you what you laughing at, represent that mud life. Dirty money, plenty, better get your mug right. We come together, holding hands and holler, mud life. We all strapping all black, it's like,
all I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there. Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you go in, put your hands in the air, make them stay there.
Heat in the kitchen, pot on the stove. Water getting boiled, being so Snoopy in the hookie. System overload, I've been running this rap game since I was 20 years old. I hung with the worst of them, bust till I burst them up. Floss them up, toss them up, hard away, floss them up. Pardon me, I'm bossing up, pressure up, bless you, bro, don't mess with us. We like the U in the 80s. Back to back, set a track. Hit the lick, get it back. Get the trick, jump the track. Want my money back. Time and time again, while I'm sipping on this gin.
We do it for fun, yeah, yeah, yeah. We just do it for fun, yeah, yeah, yeah. We do it for dirty, fun, bad boy.
Nelly, Diddy, Murphy Lee. Fun, this is history, baby. Trucks.
We do it for fun, stack them up.
Come on now, in the bad place. Bad Boys 2, the soundtrack. Let's go.
Launch a ball. Deep right is down on the field. Take it away.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Welcome back inside the broadcast booth at Segra Stadium for the postgame wrap-up. Couple shows for you tonight, one for our radio audience, and then we'll do another one for MILB.TV following the fireworks that 4,800 in the park tonight are waiting around for, and they were treated to quite the game tonight. Really the best late comeback by Fayetteville all year long, Colin, to start the second half. We mentioned in the ninth inning that three separate occasions this year a game was tied at Segra Stadium after seven innings, and the Woodpeckers had lost all three of them. Not a walk-off tonight, but it felt like one in many respects. Miguel Palma was huge on the offensive end, a two-run double in the early going, a part of that three-run first inning, and then he added on a go-ahead home run in the eighth with the game tied 5-5 to give the Woodpeckers a 6-5 victory tonight. They didn't have a ton of free base runners as well, Colin. You mentioned looking over the scorecard. No walks today by the Fayetteville offense, but they still managed to recuperate in those middle to late innings after Augusta took control of the game with Miguel Oyola battling some location issues. It was the perfect mix tonight of offensive highlights and late pitching when the Woodpeckers needed it.
Yeah, and also taking advantage of what the Augusta defense gave them. A couple of errors in the sixth inning gave them that boost to get back into this ball game. Ran single. This was all with two outs, two in the inning. It was still a 5-3 game with two outs. Rivas had the single. Hallmark able to move him over to third base, and then that error that Cody Orr generated on a ground ball hit up the middle, ended up tying the ball game. And you can't say enough about how special a night it was for Miguel Palma. You know, he missed a lot of time with an injury, comes back in, two-run double his first at-bat in the first inning, and then comes through with the big swing. The only hit against James Acuna coming out of the bullpen, who was lights out other than that. All it took was one mistake pitch. Palma took advantage of it, sent it over the left field fence. And how about Christian Mejias? Five innings, just one hit allowed, six strikeouts, didn't give out any free passes, did hit one batter, but just an outstanding performance in the late innings. And that's something that we didn't see a whole lot of in the first half. It seemed like the Woodpeckers struggled to come from behind after a rough start in a ball game, but they kept their heads down, kept fighting, and came through when it mattered most. And definitely a refreshing start to this second half of the season. And if you're Joe Thon, you hope that there's more to come.
Yeah, the Woodpeckers complete tonight's game in 2 hours, 36 minutes in front of a Saturday, make it a Friday night attendance of 4,837. Winning decision goes to Christian Mejias, who retired 10 in a row over those five scoreless tonight, giving up just one hit on the first batter he faced. That was to Stephen Paulini in the fifth inning, and Mejias was rolling after that. Again, retiring 10 in a row, striking out a total of six, dropping his ERA to 3.15, going to 3-1. While James Acuna, he suffers his first loss of the year, falling to 1-1, giving up the Palma solo home run in the eighth inning, which ultimately wins it tonight for the Woodpeckers. Final line scores for Augusta, 5 runs, 7 hits, 3 errors, and the Woodpeckers 6 runs on 7 hits and no errors. Woodpeckers improved to an overall record of 32-34 with the win tonight, while Augusta drops to 36-31. And hey, don't look now, but the Woodpeckers are in first place in the Carolina League South Division, 1-0, tied with a couple other teams, of course, in the South Division. Columbia right now trying to close out a win over the Charleston River Dogs. They're up. River Dogs do have two on with nobody out in that bottom nine. Elsewhere in the league tonight, just bring you through a couple of different scores across the Carolina League as well before our sign off. But Myrtle Beach is thumping Kannapolis, your South Division champs, up 10-4 in the bottom of the ninth inning, looking to be 1-0. Fredericksburg over Salem 9-5 in the bottom of the eighth, and the other South Division teams in this one, well, a couple of North Division teams down east in Carolina, they are a final tonight in Kinston, 6-0. The Wood Ducks beat the Carolina Mudcats. And the Lynchburg Hillcats, your division winners in the north, are up 5-3 with one out in the bottom of the ninth inning on the road in Salisbury, Maryland. That's the quick peek around the scoreboard tonight. We do appreciate you tuning us in tonight on the broadcast. Hope you do again tomorrow. A quick look at our pitching matchup tomorrow night, 5:05 first pitch on Saturday night. Here in downtown Fayetteville, it'll be Zach Matthews, 2-3 record with an 8.00 ERA against righty Luis Vargas, 2-3 with a 4.50. It'll be a hat giveaway tomorrow. It's arcade night at the ballpark as well. Our friends across the across town at Stop Button wheeling out some old-school video games to the park, and the first 1,000 in attendance will also get a cool arcade logo Woodpecker hat. And so come on out, line up early, grab a hat. You can take a look at it on our social media channels, and you can still bid on the superhero uniforms that the Woodpeckers were wearing tonight on the field. Follow Woodpeckers social media for the online auction links that you can bid on one of those uniforms, take one home, get it signed by a player as well, and have a cool piece of memorabilia that you can wear out to the ballpark next time you're here at Segura Stadium. Our final line scores for one final time tonight, Woodpeckers win thanks to the Palma home run. 6 runs, 7 hits, no errors. Augusta, 5 runs, 7 hits, and 3 errors. A big thanks to our entire Woodpecker fan base for tuning in tonight or coming out to the ballpark. A big thanks to Colin Casey here in the booth with me tonight, and our entire Woodpeckers front office putting on a great show in downtown Fayetteville. Two more chances on the road next week to Zebulon, tomorrow 5:05, and Sunday, the conclusion of this 12-game homestand, 2:05 p.m. Eastern, first pitch. That does it tonight for us in the booth. We'll have another show for those tuned in to MILB.TV in just a moment. In the meantime, we're going to enjoy the fireworks, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your Friday night. This has been Woodpeckers Baseball, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Fayetteville wins it in come-from-behind fashion tonight to start the second half 1-0 by a total of 6-5. So long, Woodpeckers fans. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the air.
Listening to Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. For news, stats, ticketing information, upcoming promotions, and merchandise, be sure to visit FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.